Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe even a Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world's all right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We're all here feasting on Pizzeria Grandi. We're all here except Eric.
I was going to say, that's the ultimate kick in the stones for Eric. Fred just opened a show and said, we're all here.
I guess Eric's on vacation?
Yes.
Where did he go?
I don't think anywhere.
You know something's going to happen this week. He's going to get involved in some crazy art-related thing, and we're going to find out about it a few months from now. And
but he'll never want to talk about it.
Right. All right. Anyway, it's Andy, Paul, Fred, doctors in the booth. Where's Toyota Tacoma? You hire him and you never use him? It's the easiest job I've seen. He emails us in the morning, what do you want for lunch? And then I don't see him for the rest of the day. What does he do?
I'm making sure he gets the lunch part right first, and then we'll
so
we'll
one
go
step
from
at
there.
A time.
Priorities.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
That's the most important part of his job.
All right.
Speaking of lunch.
Yeah. Rajiv sent it in today.
And so, it was yummy.
Thank you, Rajiv. We're going to get to your email a little later. But
Andy put it away already?
Woo. Right off the top of the show. Thanks to Rajiv for sending in today's lunch. That's great. Guys, Patriots news. What do we got? Few signings.
Number changes. 80 and 50. No, formerly worn by two guys, very versatile Mr. Patriot types, have been given out, Fred. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with Vrabel's number?
I'm okay with Vrabel's number. I'd like to wait for 80 a little bit longer.
Well, we waited already, didn't we?
Just 1 year.
How long are you going to go? You don't have that many numbers.
A couple years.
Alex Smith will be wearing number 80, and Vinny Chirchu, as Paul taught me how to say it, will be wearing number 50. Formerly, he was wearing 43, but that goes to Mr. Football himself, Brandon McGowan.
And they did sign a wide receiver as well.
None.
Yeah, exactly. None. Second two.
Who I need to do, I need to get the official Patriots Football Weekly researcher, also known as Strippers.
Strippers, who's big in the Big 12 and Nebraska.
I need to
big
know why State. This Nunn character, who had a pretty impressive career at Nebraska, was not anywhere last year. It said, according to the release sent out by the Patriots, he was unsigned and undrafted previously. And it's pretty hard to go unsigned as a rookie free agent. I mean, there are a lot of people with lesser resumes than this guy.
Right. It's not like he came from an unknown school.
So I want to know why he was not anywhere previous to this.
Well, I'm sure Strippers will have some insight on that.
That is a little odd. I mean, even like the Northeastern guys, Fred, you know, the standout seniors, they generally go to someone's camp and one or two
get
of them
get laughed at and sent home later.
And they get cut. You know, you go to camp and you don't make it. I'm very surprised that a guy with his college resume would not even have warranted. Maybe he was injured or something and that prevented him from being signed.
Speaking of which, they were just showing highlights on the TV behind you. NFL Dreams, Northeastern. I don't know who it was. I mean, I couldn't tell you.
Cord Parks? Was it a little guy?
Fred, no fried dough today?
You know, I forgot to order it. Son of a... I should have. Yeah. Don't you have a taste for fried dough?
I've reached the point in the show where I'd like to be chewing on fried dough.
Yeah. That's too bad.
You dropped that ball.
What else is going on at Patriots land? The guys are here. There's a lot of players here working out.
Yeah. You know. Saw Welker yesterday briefly. Yeah, there are a lot of cars in the parking lot. I think some passing camps are going on, Freddie, and we're going to have access to those next week. There's going to be four separate days that the media is allowed to attend some of the OTAs, and the first one, I believe, is May 20th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I believe that is accurate.
And then there's a couple more toward the end of May, and one even right before the regular minicamp begins on June 10th, I think, minicamp opens. June 9th, I think, we have accesses as well. So it'd be interesting to see how, you know, obviously, first and foremost, but Tom Brady does.
Right. Well, let me tell you something, and I'm telling everyone that's listening right now. I've seen the guys. I've heard the guys. I have no doubt that the Patriots are going all the way this year. I have no doubt.
How do you have no doubt?
I have no doubt. Remember in 01?
I have no doubt that he has no doubt that they're going all the way.
But I have no doubt that that's ridiculous.
No.
On May, what is today, May 12th?
I am so certain.
How?
I just know.
What happens when Tom Brady blows his other ACL in the first quarter of the first game?
You can't think like that.
I know you can't, but it's a possibility. Anytime a player steps on a field, that he can be injured.
I'm telling you, as this team is currently constituted.
Oh, so if everyone stays healthy, if all the best players.
I'm not even saying if everyone stays. There's going to be injuries.
Forget health, because health is you can't control it. It's an uncontrollable variable.
But I mean, we've talked about it. It's even almost likely that either Moss or Welker get hurt. They've just gone too long here for two plus seasons catching all the balls in this offense.
I'll say, barring Tom Brady, I don't care about injuries. The Patriots are going all the way.
Why?
I know it. I have the same feeling I had towards the end of the 2001 season.
Every other year. I mean, don't live into the 2001.
When did you not have this feeling?
No.
You had that feeling when they were winning four in a row on the road last year late. I think if they sneak in, they're going to win it all.
I've never been so sure.
Are you telling me that in 2007, you didn't have a better feeling that they were going to win the Super Bowl than you did in 2001?
Not at the beginning of the season. By the time they got there, yeah, absolutely. You know, midway through the season.
So in 07, but before the 07 season started, you didn't feel as good about the 07 prospects as you did in 01 before the season started.
No.
No, he's saying not
I'm astounded by that.
Oh,
comment.
Wait a minute. You're comparing 07 to 01?
Yeah.
Okay. But
you're saying that not since 01. I'm telling you that you always think like this.
No, but 01.
Remember he had the dream down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm talking about the end of 01. When I was sure this is the way it's written.
Right.
That whole thing.
Right.
I'm just that's.
So
the,
you weren't sure the, in 07 that that's the way it was written? Weren't sure?
No.
Not to open the season.
Talking about down the stretch. Oh, okay. Let's compare apples to apples down the stretretch going into the playoffs.
And he was
in 01 and 07.
He was right.
Never. No, he felt just as good. Are you telling me that he didn't think they were going to win?
Everybody.
Can in 07.
Everybody.
Because he always thinks like this, and he's pretending that he only.
Think it in 2007.
He's pretending
and
he only thinks like
it.
This in the years they actually win the Super Bowl.
I'm telling you.
But he thinks like this every single year.
So you had a dream?
There's something special going on at Gillette Stadium.
What?
There is a single motivation among all players. It's running right through the team from the head coach, or I'd say from the owner, right on down through the last free agent signee.
A slip up there. You better watch yourself there.
Well, no.
You're on thin ice and you're fat.
It's shared by the owner. It's, you know, and every team has that single purpose in mind.
I was going to say, even the Lions, you know, are working towards winning games.
And obviously. But this team is going to do it. I'm telling you. Right now.
I actually think you're right. I just think to say no questions, no doubt.
If you ask me right now, I think the Patriots are a favorite. And I think they're a pretty clear favorite. I don't think they're the only team that can win, but I think they are in the best spot.
I think there's other teams. You know, the Steelers are always in the mix, and the Colts are always in the mix.
I think the Giants are going to be
right
there. They're going to be hurt from, too. I think they've improved they do have some issues at wide receiver. Did you happen to check, you know, as we're talking about this, did you happen to check out Pete King's power rankings yesterday?
Mm-mm.
He had,
I've been really sick.
Really?
I have a combination of the swine, bovine, and equine flu.
Okay.
If it has an ein in it, Fred's got it.
Yeah. No, Peter King had his power rankings yesterday that he does every year in the offseason. You know, at the point where he feels like the offseason is pretty much over. There aren't really going to be any more significant personnel moves that are going to dramatically affect things, save for a Brett Favre, as he
Jason
put.
Jason Taylor.
And he added that. But at this point, the draft is done. Free agency is pretty much done. Teams are what they are. So he ranks the teams. And the most surprise, he had the Patriots won, obviously, because he always does.
It's Peter King.
But the most surprising thing I saw, just kind of giving it a quick glance, number four. He had one was the Patriots. I believe two was Pittsburgh.
Cowboys?
Three were the Giants.
Giants, okay.
Four.
You're asking
Chicago us? Bears.
Really?
I thought that was kind of stunning.
Yeah. Huh.
Boy, he's...
So say he sold on Jay
into
Cutler.
The Jay Cutler plan, huh?
Yeah. That's interesting.
That is. I'm not buying it.
But, you know, I really think that, you know, I know there's been some changes in the Patriots, but the continuity is there with Belichick and Brady and Moss and Welker and Seymour and Wilfork. These are studs in, you know, in what they do.
What the hell is going on with you?
I'm telling you.
I mean, I know you're always a homer and you're always...
I did have a fever yesterday, so that might be part of it.
Do you have a fever right now? I mean, you're always positive Patriot guy, but right now you're like... You're amazing.
I really have this feeling.
Was there a dream involved?
And I'm not saying undefeated season. I'm not going off, you know...
But guaranteed to win.
Yes.
It all.
Yes.
I agree with you. I just think the absolute level you've taken to is...
Yeah.
Unlike any other I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother you that they have no linebackers.
They have linebackers. And every year you go into a season with some weaknesses.
It's
every
Bill
team
Belichick
does.
Bill Belichick here.
You know,
he went from
the,
like,
season
the lead cheerleader to Bill Belichick in one sentence.
Now, the linebacker core will not be what it is when the season starts, what it is now. There'll be some additions.
Jason Taylor.
Perhaps.
Don't give me your whole, there's always guys available June 1.
Well, there are.
There aren't.
There
aren't.
Every year.
June 1 is the most irrelevant date now in football.
I'm not saying June 1.
And there's not even
June
1 anymore because there's no CBA.
Listen, I understand
that.
It's different than
poo-pooed.
But there are always guys added, you know, closer to training camp. Always. And every team.
Right. And you've been living off Roman frickin' Pfeiffer for 7 years now.
And Brian Cox and a bunch of other guys.
Two guys for 7 years now you've been living off of.
But additions are made. Additions are made.
See, I like what Bill's been doing.
Dana Stubblefield for a day.
I like what Bill's been doing lately is actually adding guys that can help in March.
No, and that's fine.
He goes out and gets them. Let's not pretend that they're going to just sign.
I would venture to say that, you know, everyone says the Patriots defense is complicated. I don't know how complicated it is compared to other defenses. But I would say if it is, probably the positions that need to get on board quickest are the defensive secondary. You know, there's a lot more variables that go along with playing those positions, and those guys are here. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. Your middle linebacker, your kind of anchor on the defense is here. That's Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree with all that.
And the defensive line is pretty much set. You know, you're talking about one or two linebackers that you really need to get on. You know, Pierre Woods is back. He was, you know, there were signs that he was starting to get it. Before he broke his jaw, saw him today. He looks great.
I'm not a Pierre Woods detractor. If he were number three, if it were Adalys Thomas, Jason Taylor, and Pierre Woods, I'm okay with that. Because then even if one of those gets hurt, okay, now
right.
I think Pierre Woods might be able
right.
to.
The key,
but he's going in as the
right.
guy.
That's the thing. The problem is there's no room for error with the linebackers.
And
there's no
room
depth.
For error on the inside yeah. when you have Brewski
right.
and then...
There's no depth.
Guyton or right. Appleby or Alexander.
Right.
I mean...
I agree with that. I agree with that.
I have some serious concerns.
You know, but every year, on every team, there's an area of that team that has that concern.
But I could see
really
that being
hard,
a fatal flaw.
You know, if... Well, it could... It
and
could
I don't
be.
Want it to be a fatal flaw, which means to me, go get Jason Taylor.
You know, I can't see it being any more of a fatal flaw than losing Tom Brady in the first series of the season and they kind of overcame that at 11-4. You know, so
hold on. Okay. Well, I was going to yell at you. No. I'll grant you
11-5.
That is a much, much bigger.
Well, I just gave you credit for
flaw, but they
course
didn't
it is.
Almost overcome. They didn't make the playoffs. They went from 16-0 to 11-5 and didn't even make the playoffs. So let's not make it.
But
there was a 5-game difference. That's a huge difference.
I understand that, but
they didn't almost overcome it.
They were 11-5 losing their starting quarterback. I think they can be at least that or better without some depth at linebacker.
But I'm talking about your end goal. You're winning it all, being the best team bar none.
Right.
And I think that linebacker spot could.
It starts with getting in the playoffs.
I assume they're going to make the playoffs. I assume they're going to win 11 or 12 games. But I'm saying to be the best they can be, to be the best team in football, roll through people, win a title, get a ring. To me, that's
well. Again, I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated. They're just going to win the Super Bowl. I don't care.
The linebacker spot could be a reason they don't win the Super Bowl.
I'm not worried about the manner in which they do it. You know, I don't care if they have to squeak out every game. They're going to do it. They're going
to
do it.
I think if they don't, you could point to linebacker and say, "Boy, if they had a pass rusher, that would have really made the difference, all the difference."
But you know, this we go through this every season. We're talking about having the perfect team here.
What
there's. I don't know of any team that goes into the season without some form of weakness.
Right, but if Jason Taylor weren't out there, I might feel differently. But he's out there. There's a mutual interest, clearly, on some level.
You know,
get it done. There's an answer to the problem before it starts.
But you know,
why don't you guys listen to me? Did I not tell you that he'll be signed on minicamp?
I don't listen to you because you're always wrong.
Why?
I don't know. You don't know much.
Just because I'm always wrong doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to me.
Sooner
Once
or later,
in a while, I'm bound to be right.
But, you know,
you're the opposite of Moss and Welker. You're due to be right one of these
right.
days.
Sooner or later, it's going to happen.
As
no,
last
I'm telling
season,
you, Taylor's going to be on
as
the
last season.
Then I'll just shut up and stop talking for
you. You know, as last season started, we thought that they had maybe an answer for Fernando Bryant and the other guy that they signed, a cornerback. Turns out they really went into the season without any good quarterback.
Stunning that the other guy they signed
turned
at
out
corner
to be,
wasn't.
In my opinion, a fatal flaw.
Right.
That,
but,
to me, hurt them a lot more than Brady's injury.
Just like receiver was a fatal flaw.
But they
flaw.
Still managed to be 11-5 despite not having their starting quarterback and
right.
not having any quarterbacks.
And that made
right.
them the seventh best team in the AFC.
Okay.
And I'm worried that if they don't
this
get
year,
more depth at those spots,
right.
they might
year,
not be good enough.
They've taken care of the cornerbacks. Brady's back.
No, this year they did what they did last year at cornerback.
No, these
we
guys
hope.
Are good. These guys are good.
Right, but that's what we thought right. last year, too. Right.
Well, I'm going by what
but
I
they
know.
Did, they shot higher on the depth chart of available guys. I mean, they went younger in Lee Bodden, and they went, I would think, more talented in Sean Springs.
No question. If Sean Springs is healthy, he's a far more talented.
And I think Wheatley's going to be a contributor.
Far more talented guy
yeah, but
than,
that's not
than what
a...
they brought in last year.
The guys they targeted are on a different tier. They're not exactly Champ Bailey, but they're higher than Fernando Bryant.
So,
both ex-Lions.
I'm feeling very good about this whole thing.
And I All am right. as well. I mean, I think that they are clearly the favorite. And I like this team on paper, I like an awful lot. I mean, I think there aren't really any holes. Now, I think the depth at linebacker is a major concern. That's all.
I agree.
And as I said, the part that makes it that much is the guy is right there, the guy you want to sign. He's so perfect, it just makes too much sense. The success in Saban's system had some of his best.
Here's what worries
everything. Boom. Put him out there.
Here's what Here's what troubles me about Jason Taylor is his desire.
That doesn't bother me.
Well, it does. If he,
bothers me a little.
It does bother me a little bit. If you want to play, let's go. Come on, get over here. Learn our system. Get to know your teammates. Let's go.
You know whose desire bothers me? The quarterback. I mean, it's the same thing. Why are they any different?
He's here.
No, I know. But I think Jason Taylor, if he signs, will be here more than you'd expect. Kind of like Moss was here more than you expected the first year he was here. But, I mean, they're the same guy. They're these guys that are great NFL players later in their career that have maybe developed some other interests, get a little more tired.
The quarterback knows everything there is to know.
And I think Jason Taylor knows everything there is to know.
Maybe.
There's not much difference between what he did in
That's
Miami
true.
For Saban than he's going to do here.
You know, of course I'll change my tune once he signs.
I know.
So, you know.
So why is his desire any...
I think it worries me that he's going to decide I don't want to play, period.
That's a different kind of desire to
Same
me.
Questions you had about Brady when he got hurt.
No, I did not. I thought he'd come back with more...
No, that was me, actually, who said that.
What?
Now you're just flat out taking, not only are you ignoring what you said at the time, you're taking what I said at the time and saying it was you.
Why wouldn't I say that?
Are we going to have to get the tapes when
yes.
you were worried that he would never come back to the game?
Yes. I guess so.
Can you get those tapes, Andy?
Yes. I don't really know how, but
web radio can. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
What is that canister in there on your thing? It looks like something from 24 that would have a chemical weapon
some
in it.
Some sort of water. Explosive device?
Why do you have that?
What are you talking
I don't know. It keeps the water cold.
You have to have a fancy water bottle? Stainless steel looks like a... What is that? Can't just have a normal water
He's
bottle?
He's just got a fancy water bottle.
I don't like it.
Are you on a diet, Doc?
I am.
Usually when men carry around these water bottles, it means they're dieting.
Didn't you just have a salad with bacon all over the top of it?
I did, but that's the worst thing I'll eat all day today.
I don't buy it.
Fraud.
So I actually lost 15 pounds in 2 weeks.
Did you really? What are you doing?
High protein and no carbs.
So you're doing that, what do they call it? The Atkinson diet?
Atkinson. It's Atkinson? Not that, but it's something similar.
It's modified.
My doctor told me I should do.
Okay. So you lost 15 pounds in 2 weeks? Do you feel weak?
No.
You look it.
That's good. I should try that.
You should try something.
You know, got to get ready for pool season.
Wait, last time I saw you in a pool, were you ready at that point?
No.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. When you were scarring my son for life, pretending to drown in your own pool.
Yeah, he didn't like that, did he?
No, he cried. He's very compassionate. I don't know where he gets it from.
Yeah, I don't either. All right, web radio at patriots.com. Eric's not here. He's on vacation.
Can I say what I called it earlier or no?
If you'd like to email us in and tell us what you think he's doing on his vacation, feel free to do that. We can share it with him when he gets back.
I'll let our listeners figure it out on themselves. But last year during the economic crisis at its height, the staycations were all the rage.
It'll be this year, too.
Eric has a different variation on that. I'm sure you all can figure out what rhymes with staycation and would involve
now,
Eric.
We don't need to do that.
What?
That's just
could be
right.
Praycation. He's very religious.
That's just not
could
right.
be a praycation. Maybe he's sitting down and praying for these 7 days or however long he's off for.
All
How
right.
long is he off for, Paul?
I guess all week, right?
This week.
How do you guess? Doesn't he send you something?
Yeah, he did. Look, my mind is mush. I got so many things going on right now. I need an assistant.
Maybe you should work a full work week and not 4.5 days.
I need an assistant.
Because you check out mentally on Fridays in the afternoon when you're getting into email wars with other departments.
That was pretty funny.
You were like giddy waiting for emails to come in, and like 3 seconds later, you'd have a reply.
Well, because I knew we would win that. All right, look,
of course.
Just to fill in our listeners.
Well, the only ones that were participating.
We're doing the top 10 lists all year on Patriots.com. Right now, it's, I think, rookies.
This is good. Let's do some more dirty laundry. Maybe we can get another department that doesn't already hate us to hate us.
No, so.
There are some left.
We had what I thought was a real good category, personalities, right? And these were the top 10.
Unique personalities.
Top 10 unique personalities in Patriots history. So, you know, one guy in one department decided, oh, it's not defined well enough. So he said, we're not doing it. But no one else agreed to that. So I had an informal poll via email on Friday to see to get that category back in the mix. And I think overwhelmingly people agree with me that unique personalities should be one of the categories.
So it's back.
It's back.
Okay.
Okay.
It's back, says Fred.
Until said guy says, no, it isn't.
See, the problem with that one guy in that one department is he makes all the people in that department vote with him.
That is true.
They don't think independently, so I was making fun of them.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
And you were enjoying it. You're cracking yourself up.
I definitely could hear as I was reading those, I could hear you laughing as you were taking part in that. I knew exactly the scenario.
Hey, did you know that one guy in that department's leaving?
I did not know that.
I'll tell you later. He's going to get his law degree.
Oh, Jeff.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
I could hear you in the microphone.
I could hear you too.
I could too, and now I know exactly who you're talking about.
Well, if you heard me, I would hope you know who I'm talking about.
I don't think it's a big secret. It's, you know, he's going Bill? to get his law degree.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So.
I would have thought the other guy first, though, for that, for a law degree.
Yep. So as I said earlier in the show, Rajiv is the one who sent us our lunch from Pizzeria Grandi, and His email says, how y'all doing? I hope the food reached on time. It was good. Yes, it was, Rajiv. Thank you very much. A couple of things I need to get off my chest. First of all, there's nothing from the Patriots officially about Tyrone's injury, and I was wondering if the Patriots have said anything about it. No, they haven't.
No.
And to my knowledge.
All they would say is placed on injured reserve.
Right.
I mean, they're not going to give a medical update.
But they haven't even said that.
No. Well, he hasn't signed yet.
He's not on the roster.
It's going to be a ways off.
Right.
I would imagine he's going to get signed, and then you won't hear anything about it for a while. And then when the time comes to put different guys on various lists, you know, around training
camp, actual roster comes
he'll
out.
He'll go on one of those
he'll
lists.
He'll be listed right. under reserve injured, Tyrone McKenzie.
You know?
Secondly, I do not think
he
his
may
loss...
may go on PUP or something, just for the off chance that, you know, it's not as serious as some people have reported, and maybe halfway through the season he could come back.
That'd
I don't know.
That'd be great. Secondly,
that'd
I do
be
not.
Great. We've never seen him play, but that'd be great.
That'd be great. That would pretty much put a lock on the unscored upon season.
Secondly, I do not think his loss is as significant as some people are making it to be. I mean, with Mayo playing all three downs and a rotation of Teddy, Guyton, and Appleby, if he pans out, along with another free agent addition, the linebacker the Rams released, I think we should be all right at the inside linebacker
Jason Taylor.
Position.
We're fine.
And there's Tank Williams, who Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, was planning to use as a hybrid safety linebacker.
If he made the team.
The Jason Taylor signing, I still think, is the key to our D. I mean, with AD and Taylor on the outside and with a dominating front three, we can really get after the quarterback. Plus, with Taylor in the fold, our young guys can see and learn from the best and also be rotated in certain games, giving them the game experience to learn and grow. I'm really excited about our secondary this year. I know it's too early to say, but with all the signings and draft picks, what used to be our weakest link can turn into a pretty strong group. I think given all the players we have, we now have the speed, strength, and versatility that Belichick did not have at his disposal. So I am excited to see how he uses his players and what strategies he comes up with, especially when we play the Colts. Lastly, any updates on that kicking contest? keep up the great work. And that's Rajiv, who sent us lunch.
Well, using Rajiv's criteria of
I agree
they're
going to
add Pisa, Tinuasomala, and Taylor,
if we,
I'm good at linebacker.
Yeah, I'm good. If we can include three or four guys that aren't currently on the roster, I also think that could be a strength of the team.
And I also think the secondary could be good. Just good, though. I'm not sure it could be great because I don't see the one guy...
Right.
Who can be a great playmaker, either at corner or safety. I just don't see that
guy. I mean,
guy.
Chung could be someday.
Maybe,
but
I'm not going to slot that in
year.
As a rookie.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, would hold it back. I mean, they've always had, whether it was Harrison from safety position, even Wilson at times at safety position, Ty Law, Asante Samuel, they always had a playmaker. I don't know that they have one. And I'm not on the Brandon Merriweather has taken these great strides and is going to be this great playmaker. I'm still a little lukewarm on him. Strippers chimes in and doesn't really have anything on the guy's football career, but most important to know about our boy Terrence Nunn is he dated Playboy's Miss October 2006 Jordan Monroe.
She I don't take a year off for that.
Is a Nebraska. I'd take the rest of my life off for this. She smoked.
Fred, he did email in some football stats too. It's in the inbox.
I'd like to be in that inbox.
So she's a Playboy model, and you couldn't get any pictures of her naked, Doc?
There's like five more pictures attached.
Oh. They didn't print well, and nothing good.
Oh.
All right.
Now we're chastising listeners for not sending in nude photos.
Unbelievable.
Don't be offended. That's what the thing in the beginning
oh,
said,
Oh, that's
people.
True. That's right. That's right. I'm not.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
We should point out, Fred, that The Rams linebacker, Pisa Tuasonoma, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I say Tino is Amoa because that's how you spell it. It's
Tino
is
Tino-Is-Amoa. Yeah.
Tino is Amoa.
Him, he's available, but he was in Buffalo today.
Yes.
Talking to the Bills, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. But if we want him, we can get him.
Why can't we take that approach with Jason Taylor?
We
That's
have.
The guy I want to take we, that.
I,
for, yeah, the problem is I think we're taking that approach, and he might go elsewhere.
Yeah,
add another million to the pot. Do what you got to do.
I'm sure if something else happened, he'd come back to us and say, hey, whoever just offered me this, do you want to up it?
I agree with Paul. I think he's going to be a Patriot because is Bill Parcells suddenly in the business of letting bygones be bygones and mending bridges? I mean, the guy basically, they had a pissing contest, and he traded him last year. Now, all of a sudden, he's just going to be like, oh, we're past that. We're going to shake hands and come back. I don't see Parcells as the kind of guy that mends bridges, and certainly not within a year.
Right.
I mean, how long did it take him before he and Bill started kind of even acknowledging each other again and crossing paths again?
Yeah.
I mean, so I think every sign points to Jason Taylor makes sense as a Patriot, but I'd really like it to be finalized and signed and put on the roster.
And as much as I'm comfortable with Fred's theory that, you know, if we want the guy, he'll just sign with us, I just thought it was worth mentioning that he is talking to Buffalo today. So if right. the Patriots do have some interest in him, which I have no idea if they do, he certainly would seem to make sense on paper.
He's got the size.
He's got the size to play inside. He's been a productive player with the Rams. 130
tackles or whatever.
You know, they might need to act a little bit quicker here to avoid him signing somewhere else.
And, of course, in Buffalo, Fred,
if they're interested in him, they might not be interested
in him. They'd be forming your linebacker nightmare core of names with Paul Posluszny and Tino Uiagalelei.
Right.
You could, I mean, you couldn't even go to games because you wouldn't be able to.
Well, the question is, really, how much cap room do the Patriots still have? I mean, if they sign this guy, does that mean they have to take the offer off the table for Taylor?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
I doubt it.
I don't know how much space they have.
And another wrinkle there is to keep in mind is the cap needs to be treated differently this year because of the uncapped year on the horizon. I was kind of looking over some of the different things the other day.
The likely to be earns and
all those
stuff.
Bonuses can be on your cap immediately.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're going to have a little extra wiggle room. And I don't know how the NFL is going to police this in terms of, you know, forcing teams to have that space available in case it does need it. But it is going to be a little bit of a different year in terms of bonuses and money being accelerated onto your cap that wouldn't have been an issue in the past.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really interesting because none of us are, you know, knowledgeable enough and smart enough to understand it. But somebody is keeping an eye on those numbers, and it's an extra wrinkle in the whole
process. It's an X factor that, you know, when people say, oh, this team has this much cap room. It's not that simple.
It never is that simple. It never is.
You know,
even in past years,
right.
It never was because of accelerations
right.
and bonuses from the Super Bowl. And I mean, you're subtracting this money for one guy, but you're adding this for the other guy, and it's all very, very muddy water. But I got to think they'd have the money. I mean, the last one we saw was five and change, but they unloaded Ellis Hobbs for 2.8 something million.
Yeah.
And they don't have a first round pick, so I gotta think they're not even gonna use the total money in their pool, right?
Well, they had like the most money out of anybody.
Yeah, it was the fourth most in the league.
Yeah.
But they didn't use their first round pick, so I gotta think, I mean, a good chunk of it goes to that top pick.
Well, I thought that was divvied out after
the
picks
were
made.
No, it isn't.
No? Oh,
really? Sure on that?
I don't believe so.
Yeah,
because
I thought it was based on the 12 players that they picked. Gave them more
so.
Money
right.
than most other
the
teams.
The figure definitely came out after the draft.
Well, it didn't really come out. It was reported.
Yeah.
But I thought that came before the draft. I thought it was based on the picks you had heading into draft weekend. I didn't think it was after the draft, but I might be wrong on that.
I don't really understand that whole thing anyway. I think that's a waste of time.
I do too.
You know, you have 127 or whatever million the cap, 128 million, whatever the cap number is. You have to fit your players underneath that.
I think the theory of it was
it's
to limit
simple.
Rookie contracts, but it certainly hasn't worked since everybody wants to blow up the system because guys at the top of the draft are making too much money. Fred, there's a blonde on TV. Can we move on?
What?
Jesus.
Nick from the UK writes in, one of you many British fans and loyal listener, one of your many British fans and loyal listeners and appreciate what good jobs you guys do. However,
I knew there was a butt coming there. You could tell.
However, I have
butt.
To take
like
issue
love life.
With your regular discussion about Tom Brady, New England Patriots quarterback, and what you think of his off-field behavior, mainly Andy and Paul. Why continue to discuss trivial aspects of his life, such as his interactions with his wife or what party he has attended? I could understand if it was someone with a bad track record or a guy who has continued to underperform. But in his 9 years in New England, Tom has done nothing but the best he can for the Pats. And I see no reason to question him. I'd much rather hear updates about his health than what he's feeding Giselle. Just because it's reported in celebrity mags doesn't mean you guys have to debate it. At least Eric does his celeb reporting only on the blog and not on air. P.S. I have to agree with Eric regarding how good the British office is and don't think that alone makes him pretentious. Although there were actually two seasons of six episodes and a Christmas special. So... anyway.
Yeah, I got an email after the show last week from Josh in Arlington, and he kind of wanted me to I'll let you know about The Office. I'll explain to you what you've been missing was one of those. I guess I'm in a minority with that on The Office. I just don't get it. I don't really find it that funny.
It's hysterical.
But yeah, a couple. That's why it was funny that right after the show, it was like, you know, I'll explain it to you. You know, right. I'll catch you up to date.
Yeah.
But we, in terms of Brady, I mean, I think Andy and I like to have a little fun, you know, quite honestly, you know, in terms of the feeding the grapes and teasing them for stuff like that. But the real aspect of this, if it is, you know, something to worry about, none of this went on the first 6, 7, 8 years of his career. It's only recently.
Right. Back when he won Super Bowls, he never did this.
He was here for 24/7. And now, listen, I can't say his play dropped. He got hurt, so I don't know.
He didn't throw a single TD pass last year, Paul.
Well, you know what? I will say they had the ball for 3 possessions and didn't score. no, I mean, in all seriousness, he got hurt right away, so we don't know if his play would have dropped. But this kind of stuff that me and Andy with, you know, and again, you know, we take it to exaggerated levels and we like to have some fun with it. But that only started last year.
Right.
When he started kind of jet setting everywhere with Giselle.
Other priorities, not competing for the parking spot.
You know, he just started, I mean, to our knowledge, the relationship with Giselle started at around January of 07. San Diego playoff game was the first time I think any of us saw Giselle. And by reports, that's right around the time it ended with Bridget because that's when she got pregnant and everything. So that timeline's got to be pretty close. I think it was November of 06 that it kind of ended with Bridget. And then we started hearing about Tom and Giselle. So it doesn't go back that far.
Right.
And, you know, you can say, well, he's done nothing but everything right, but You said it, Fred. You know, we expect championships, and we haven't won any.
And my biggest thing has always been not anything to do with Tom Brady's performance. It's been his persona as this hardworking superstar, and that trickles down, and that's why all these guys that come in work as hard as they do, because when you look to your left and Tom Brady's running with you at 6 a.m., it makes you feel different.
But
that's what I've always
had. That's kind of what I'm getting at, and I don't want to use a name because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but there's someone who works for this organization who would rival Fred in terms of his really undying devotion and
you
support.
You want to whisper it like you did the last time?
No, I won't.
About somebody
I won't do that. I won't do that this time. But he is an over-the-top. I mean, we're all fans, but this guy is right up there with Fred, super, super fan. He is not the biggest Tom Brady supporter out there. And I find that somewhat interesting for a guy who is so over the top in devotion. I actually feel like
He leaves.
Fred, I'm more over the top.
I am. I mean, with Brady, when it comes to Brady, I don't really have too many questions about that.
I don't either.
But you
I'm
guys know
about,
who I'm talking about, and you know that he's not a huge Brady
you
fan,
said, you keep
and
saying,
that's why.
Andy, you keep saying, I don't have any questions either, but
about
you keep bringing up the questions.
About his play.
His play.
Andy's worried
I
about
think he'll
how it's
roll
perceived.
Out of bed and throw his 35 touchdowns, be a leader on the field and all that. But we've always been sold on one of the things that was extra here in New England was the superstar was also the hardest worker.
Right.
And he's not anymore.
I think last year, the kid had just been born. That changed everything. This year, he's here. He's here right now, working out.
In between parties in L.A. and
yes.
Bangkok.
They all had last weekend off. No. Everybody had last
weekend. But as I said to him.
He can just do things that the other guys can't.
Has he been here more often this year than he was, say, in 03?
I don't know.
04?
But last year, yes.
Yes, no, we know that. But my question is, not just being here, but does it take a little extra out of you when you're here on Friday, in Miami on Saturday?
That's why you have your own jet, so it doesn't take a lot out of you. It's like sitting
it
in your living room.
It takes something out of you.
You know?
I don't understand.
I'm going to get in trouble, and I'm trying not to be ridiculous here. The bottom line is, I liked it in the past when you brought in a pizza Tino Asamoah and the first thing you saw was Tom Brady working out.
I think you said at the other show, what's the difference if you're partying all night in Miami or partying all night in Foxborough? It's the same wear and tear on your body.
Right, but I don't assume that all of them here are partying.
Yeah,
when they're here,
they're not doing that.
They're not sitting home
and I don't
watching
think,
Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, Connor,
you know?
She Wrote. Eric would have liked to have written that title because he could have put the comma in there and explained it.
Right.
A television show in the late 70s.
We have a little fun with it, but on some level, I do.
I would say
dislike his.
He might be doing more traveling now, but he's partying much less.
How do you know?
Because he's with his wife. He's just doing...
Maybe she's partying.
No, they're just traveling. I mean...
Although she shouldn't be now because of the rumors that have been out there as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me just say that
What did you say? I didn't say like anything overly bad.
I mean, again, now we're throwing another wrench in the gears. I don't know if that's true or not.
But I don't think that's a wrench in the gears. If anything, you might be right. If that happens, then it might just be settled down. Buy Kurt Schilling's big house and have a family and go bowling in the basement.
Yeah,
I don't think it's... I started off this whole thing by saying Andy and I have a little fun with this. You know, with I personally, if I'm going to criticize anything, it's more or less the mentality that Brady always says how much he doesn't like this stuff, but yet is front and center every time. And I think it's kind of funny the way he claims he hates the celebrity spotlight, but is in it constantly.
But there's no way that he can avoid it now. He's married to probably one of the most popular women internationally.
Do you think
in the
paparazzi
world
would be swarming Gillette Stadium if he was working out every day? That's one way to be out of it.
So he can't be with his wife?
No, I didn't say he couldn't be.
One way
with
to
his
be
wife.
Out of it was to have never crossed paths with her. Like,
right.
I mean, he was in the lifestyle and he clearly was seeking that when he went out with her.
So my only point is he likes it more than
he's never gone out with anyone. Wait a minute.
And that's fine.
He's never gone out with anybody who wasn't in the spotlight, really. As soon as he moved on from his initial.
That's my only point.
Actress Tara Reid, actress Bridget Moynihan.
He never went out with Tara Reid. He had some meetings with her, but they weren't.
Okay, well, whatever. He was interested in women in the spotlight and being in the spotlight with them. Then all of a sudden, once he was in the spotlight, he didn't want to be in the spotlight anymore.
Fred, there's absolutely nothing wrong with
that. Paul's right. There's no spotlight in the weight room down the hall.
I don't care that he does that. I mean, he fell in love with Giselle. That's great. I mean, I'm not saying that he shouldn't.
Those two kids are good kids.
No, I'm not saying he shouldn't have picked someone who's in the spotlight because I'm just saying,
but
don't tell me how much you don't like that when that's all you've ever been in as a pro.
You know,
you clearly have an affinity for that lifestyle.
The pictures that we've seen of him are like, the pictures we've seen are walking out of an apartment, sitting on a beach, in a restaurant. It's not like he's out, you know, at some wild club doing belly shots, you know?
Anymore.
Well, yeah, that's part of my point, too. Back, you know, when we
thought
he was blue collar Tom,
don't do that stuff.
That's what he was doing. He was out partying.
But blue collar Tom showed up to work every day.
So does this guy. Trust me. All right.
Yeah, so now we have another email that will call in and rip me in, Andy.
Don't worry about Tom Brady.
We're not worried about Tom Brady.
Andy is.
Just like to point out, since I started keeping tabs on this last year, he has not been the same quarterback.
Oh. He hasn't thrown any touchdown passes since.
In fact, one of his, what do you have, three drives, one of them was a turnover.
Of course it wasn't. Actually, two turnovers, but neither one of them were interceptions. They were both fumbles.
That speaks for itself.
Let's see. Something's blinking here, right? Oh, Jim from Texas is on the line. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, Fred, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good.
How's your weather up there?
It's not too bad today. Not too bad.
Sunny,
like
70.
Yeah.
Humidity.
Well, boo-hoo.
No humidity.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the pollen index is very high. It's really killing my
allergies. Really kicking the crap out of Fred.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. What are we all discussing this week as far as the Pats go?
Terrence Nunn.
Yeah, never heard of him. All-time great player for Nebraska, supposedly.
Right.
And we're talking linebackers. We're looking for some linebackers.
We're still holding out hope that Jason Taylor becomes a Patriot.
What else are we talking? We're talking Fred's guarantee of a Super Bowl.
Fred sees
for the ninth season in a row.
From top to bottom in the organization that is just going to be unable to be defeated.
No, that was well surmised right there, Andy. He sees a unique drive within the organization.
Well, I would give Fred the benefit of the doubt that we are the prohibitive favorites.
Yeah, no, we all agree. We both agree on that, Andy and I.
Yep.
But I wouldn't say it's like it's not impossible to think that they could lose at least one game. I mean,
okay.
But I mean, beyond all that, though, the loss of Tyrone McKenzie really bothered me a lot, and here was the reason why: is they had an opportunity to draft so many other linebackers, and they missed on Malialuga, Everett Brown. I mean, to name a few. And I'm not going to go back into the whole draft thing, but what are your thoughts as far as what we have right now? I mean, Pierre Woods, Dallas Thomas on the outside. You got Mayo, Bruschi, whoever on the inside, who's ever like remaining. What do you think? Is that going to be enough?
No, I think it could be a fatal flaw that costs you a season.
Completely.
Yeah, I think they're dangerously thin in there. I think if everything went right and those guys all stayed healthy and you got productive play out of Pierre Woods, you could be okay, but that's a lot of ifs. It's a lot of ifs.
But not even the Pierre Woods one, okay, you can sell me on. He's an up-and-coming player in the system, ready to break out. But you expect Brewski to play every down in year 14 at a productive rate?
No, but he won't have to.
Yeah, I know.
He'll come off the field, and his sub-packages will come on the field. So Mayo will be out there every down.
No, I'm not worried about Mayo. Well, unless he gets hurt.
So, Andy, it's your contention that Pierre Woods is good enough to get the job done? Let's just say, for argument's sake, that he stays healthy, he plays, I don't know, 65, 70% of the snaps. Do you think that Pierre Woods is an outside linebacker and, as a starter in this, on this team? Is he going to be good enough to do it?
My instinct says no.
Yeah, see, mine does too, which goes back to look at the secondary the last couple of years. I didn't think the secondary the last two seasons was worth anything other than actually nothing, really. And I'm not saying – I think the linebacking core as a group is much better than the secondary was last year. Having going forward, though, do they have any playmakers out there? You're going to really need a big, big, big year out of Thomas and Mayo.
Right.
Offset, I think, the other two.
And you need Thomas to stay healthy.
Yes, which, and you know, again, you're getting on the wrong side of 30. Things
right.
happen.
And he's gotten hurt a little bit the last couple of years now.
I mean, so there are a lot of questions.
Who is out there right now that can help us beyond Taylor?
Well, Pisa Tino Isamoa.
Samoa.
Yeah,
what do you all think about him?
I think he'd be good depth on the inside. I mean, he has basically the exact same build as guys like Brewski and Mayo. He's a productive guy in the league. He's a guy they worked out when he was coming into the league, so they kind of liked his, you know, instincts or whatever coming out of college.
That was a good note that Mike Reese had in his blog, is that he went back and found Jim in 2003 when he came in the league. The Patriots had him in for a visit, and obviously there was a guy that they kind of had their eye on. So I thought that was an interesting point that Mike Reese brought up.
Well, he's had good production in the league. I mean, he's been in the league obviously about 5 years, and he's been a starter. A lot of tackles. Why do they cut him? That's my question.
They were moving to He was playing. They're playing a 4-3, and I guess Spagnuolo took over the Rams defense and is looking for. He doesn't think he's big enough to play the strong side, I think, in that 4-3 in St. Louis. And whereas the Patriots have two inside guys where he's probably big enough to play one of those spots, they don't see him as being that strong side guy. And Spagnuolo's more of an attacking style 4-3. And, Andy's kind of, as he's eating another piece of pizza, giving me the money sign.
Do you want a piece, Paul?
No, I'm good.
Is there something?
He had a little money coming.
He had some money coming, and that was probably part of it as well. But I think the size, they wanted him to play the Sam. And if you remember back when the Patriots played 4-3, guys like Chris Slade played that spot.
Right.
And he's a lot bigger than, you know, I can't pronounce his name, Tino Isamoa or whatever his name is.
Sure.
So I think that might have had something to do with it as well. I don't know about the money thing. Andy's seemed to be indicating he has some money due that they might have saved by getting rid of him.
This may seem like a complete reach, and I'm going to pull an Eric on you guys. I'm going to pull a name out of the air that...
Get well, girl.
Yeah, Terrell Suggs. He still hasn't signed his tender.
Yeah, I think that you're just looking at a similar kind of thing as Julius Peppers. I mean, there's just a lot of moving parts that to acquire a franchised player. Even if he hasn't signed his tender or has signed his tender, it's a lot of money. People mistakenly think it's the $16 million for Julius Peppers that makes him cost prohibitive. That's not what it is. He's going to require compensation from Carolina, Suggs would require that from Baltimore, plus an extension that's going to be big money long term. Suggs is a comparable player to Peppers. I don't think he's at quite as good as Peppers, but
he had a great year last year.
He's comparable, and he's a guy who has played in a 3-4.
Yeah. No, my thing on Suggs, though, and Peppers is this. I almost think that my opinion on Peppers is strictly this. He's trying to get himself released or traded. And I almost think that I think they're going to the Panthers, I think at some point they're going to just say, you know what, the heck with them, and they're going to just cut him. And making him an unrestricted free agent when everybody's cap is maxed out.
Yeah, but they're also, what would they gain from that? Because they can't use the money. They get all of a sudden have $17 million they can't spend.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Right. I think I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm thinking that's what the player is trying to accomplish.
Well, that's the only thing they can do is until he signs, they can't trade him. So they can only cut him. And, you know, as far as Peppers is concerned, I'd rather, you know, if I'm going to get traded, I want to be to the team I want to get traded to. And the only way I can control that right now is to not sign.
It's to not sign and not be released. Oh, no, and it's okay. Now, that to me makes a lot of sense. So, as always, you have educated me. You've enlightened me. I'm coming around. You
guys. All right. All right.
I'm standing by this whole signing the tender, not signing the tender is one of the most overrated aspects of this whole franchise situation. I don't think it's anywhere near as big a deterrent as it's being made out to be. I think Carolina can just as easily, if they want to work a trade or whatever.
But they can work a trade, but he can't be traded until he signs. So let's say they work a trade with the Colts.
Sign and trade.
And he says, I don't want to go to the Colts. I'm not signing if you're going to trade me to the Colts. You know?
So it's simple. You move on.
Yeah.
Another team. That's all. But people are like, well, until he signs the tender, you can't do anything. Well,
no, they can do
really
things.
It's really not true.
Right. Bill in Vail, Colorado writes in, hey, guys, in the Rump Ranger. Let's see. I've been thinking about this question for a while and just got some time to type it out. Pick one of the two players for your team. Pretend all the players are the same age and have been or were in the league the same amount of time.
Same experience, same age, same salary. Everything is all things equal.
T.O. or
They're
Moss?
Never equal.
Moss.
Moss.
Brady or Montana?
Brady.
Montana.
Really? Oh. Ty Law or Asante Samuel?
Ty Law.
Rodney Harrison
you just
or...
just keep going when Paul answers. Well, how come I don't get to answer?
Rodney Harrison or Troy Polamalu?
I'm not going to answer.
Rodney. I heart Rodney. How can I go against him?
Andy, oh, now you're waiting for my answer?
Yes.
Rodney.
You are the biggest baby ever. You're a bigger baby than Eric.
Castle or Linehart?
That's a hard one.
Castle. I didn't like Linehart coming in.
Castle.
I thought he was a pansy-armed pansy.
I wouldn't really want either one. Castle.
Wes Welker or Troy Brown?
Troy Brown.
That's a tough one, too.
Wow, you've come around,
Paul. I'll take Troy Brown. Well, not necessarily if you knew what I was thinking, but Troy Brown.
Okay. LT or Curtis Martin? LaDainian Tomlinson, not Lawrence Taylor. LT or Curtis Martin?
LT.
LT.
Really?
That's a tough one, though, because I think they're both great.
Yeah. Merriman or Mayo?
Merriman.
Really? Okay.
Much more of a playmaker.
Scalavino or Liberace?
I guess we know what he was talking about at the beginning of the email.
I'll take Scalavino.
One more thing. I was watching Patriots All Access.
I love that. That was great.
I was watching I was watching Patriots All Access when Paul was interviewed by Zolak about the draft. Wow. Paul looked completely out of his element. Zoe was asking Paul questions, and Paul had the same look that Cliff Clavin had in his face when Cliff was a contestant on Jeopardy.
What are you talking about?
It was almost like the director of the segment told Paul, okay, Paul, you can't say I was going to say that, or I agree with you. I issue you a challenge, Paul. I will provide lunch if you can go through two shows without saying I was going to say that, or I was just going to say, or anything along those lines, I'll be listening. Wow.
Whatever.
He just gets mad.
That's just stupid.
So Zolak stumped you?
No.
Wow.
I mean, first of all, he obviously doesn't listen to the show if he doesn't know about the bit that we do about I was just going to say that.
Right. I think that's why it came from.
I don't think he gets he doesn't get the show.
Oh.
Paul's angry.
Well, the Zolak thing is just stupid.
Well, I didn't see the segment.
He
what happened?
Stumped me. We were talking about what they did in the draft. Like, how do you get stumped on something that already happened?
He said that you look like Cliff Clavin on Jeopardy. Be that as it may.
Does that mean he knew every answer? Because that's what happened to Cliff Clavin on Jeopardy.
I don't know. I didn't see that episode.
He loses in the end.
The categories were stamps, barroom jargon, zip codes of the world, beers,
and
celibacy. And he had like $100,000, and he bet it all on the last one and got the final Jeopardy one wrong.
What's your boy Mandeville doing? Why is he on TV? Is he actually going to a team or something?
He's probably looking for another opinion for a doctor, but I haven't seen anything on it.
Okay.
Let's see. Fox from Charlotte, North Carolina says, hey, ladies,
hey,
and
John.
Mr. Scalavino.
I was just going to say that.
What?
Nothing. Evidently, you don't get it either.
It's nice to hear so much Twitter talk. Oh, this must be from before. I was really sick of all the Flash talk. Maybe next week we can listen to you all talk about MySpace and Facebook.
Thank you. Who's this emailer?
Fox.
Fox. Excellent.
Since we are off the subject of football, do you still accept MP3s instead of calls? I haven't heard anyone do that in a while.
We lost premium.
I was just at PatriotsProShop.com and ordered the book Patriots United. Haven't received it yet, but read that Fred edited this one, or at least it's listed. I look forward to finding misspellings. Anyway, if the book is good for diehard Pats fans, then let the PFW fans know it's only $5 at Patriots.com online pro shop. I would rather see the great fans of this show have it than some chooch ball use them as a coffee ring collector. I think PFW fans have a better appreciation for those things.
I have a very important question. What's a chooch ball?
I don't know. Chooch ball? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think we had an early candidate.
Followed up the worst email that we've ever gotten at this show with one of the best emails. Right,
it is now $5?
I think there's a special going on.
I wonder if they didn't have any. That's why you couldn't get one.
No, I don't think that's the case.
No, we have some.
Yeah, I know.
You could dig a few up?
In what? 2 years, those are going to go way up in value. 10th anniversary.
Luckily, we'll still have cases of them in storage.
Josh in Arlington, I love it when Fred starts talking like this. I'm with you, Fred. This team has a chance to be really great, assuming we get Peppers or Taylor. I think we're great without him, but that's all right. I can be out on an island.
I'm very optimistic. Don't try to paint yourself as being on an island.
I knew Paul would take exception to that.
I'm very optimistic about this team.
Robert from the Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany.
Oh, easy, you.
I heard Peter King this week on Dan Patrick talking glowingly about this year's team. With all the young talent playing defensive back, the only missing piece is a pass rusher. Do you think Jason Taylor has a handshake deal in place?
I like this handshake thing has taken on a life of its own when Shalice wrote it in a story just as like an aside saying, you know, some believe or whatever.
Did you see the thing that Florio kind of took her to task about that?
Yeah, which is funny. But she just posed it as like, you know, maybe they've already agreed and they're just waiting for.
I think there's a deal on the table and it's his to take if he wants it.
Well, but that's not a handshake deal.
But that doesn't mean they've already agreed. That's not a
handshake deal on the table.
I agree with you, Fred. Yeah. I think they do have already given offers.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I think that explains, you know, Robert Kraft's,
right,
at least on two occasions that I can think of, his stance that if he wants to be a Patriot, he'll be a Patriot. It's up to him.
Plus, why would he want to play at Landshark Stadium?
Right. I don't understand that. Shark's not a dolphin.
That gets more and more bizarre.
It's still funny when you say that.
Speaking of.
And they're gonna use Jimmy Buffett. He's going to like all the music during the thing.
That's cool.
He wrote a new song they're going
to
play.
That's great. They must have paid him to do that. Because why would he do that?
Why do you keep? Well, what are you pointing at?
I want some Diet Coke.
Well, tell me you want some Diet Coke. You're pointing at the TV. You're talking about Sharks.
Fred, you know he's close friends with the new owner. Very close friends.
Oh, is he?
Did you see that quote from Stephen Ross?
Which one?
It was always a dream of mine to have Jimmy Buffett involved with the Dolphins. Like, how does that pop into your head?
Yeah. Like, I want to buy a pro football team so I can have
Jimmy Buffett be a part
of
it. I don't really get that. That was very bizarre to me.
Yeah.
By the way, there might be no money involved. You ever think of that? Maybe Jimmy Buffett gets his beer on the stadium's name, and then he has to show up and do entertainment and stuff, and it's a trade.
Hmm. Oh, that's his beer?
Hmm. You ever think of that?
Oh, he owns that beer?
Have you? Beyond saying a dolphin is not a shark, have you followed this story
about
at all?
No, you told me it's a lager.
Landshark Lager is Jimmy. It's made by Jimmy Margaritaville, Buffett. Although it's really made by Anheuser-Busch, but through the Margaritaville pipeline of businesses.
So he has a stake in it.
Yeah, it's his, except he doesn't actually brew it himself.
Oh, okay. It's all making sense now.
You're not.
Now
that
I
makes one of us.
Now I can understand the connection.
You're an idiot. Are you on drugs right now? Have you taken any medicine today?
I'm heavily
sedated. Your Zyrtec or whatever you take, Claritin D.
Have you taken anything? What have you taken now?
I've been taking ibuprofen for the fever. I've been taking.
Do you really have a fever?
I had one. Yeah.
That's because it's like 12 degrees in this building.
The last 2 days I had tremendous fever.
Did you work
fever.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh.
Only till 3. I went home at 3.
I'm going to say, then disregard that message. I didn't use a vacation day.
No, I got it.
Oh, I ended up showing up after I moved the tree.
Yeah, I moved a freaking
tree yesterday.
Andy moved
a tree
yesterday.
Worst he just ripped it out of the ground, Fred, moved it somewhere else.
Andy moved tree. Oh.
That's kind of how it ended up. Because it was
a big tree?
It was like 8 feet tall. And I dug all around, probably like 3 feet around, and I'm digging and hitting rocks. And then I really did just get frustrated, and I was just ramming it with my shoulder, trying to get and like rocking it back and forth.
You were ramming it, all right.
I thought, in my mind, this was like a two-hour project the rest of the day. It took me like 6 hours to move the tree. It was awful.
I've done like those big evergreen bushes. I had a big one that was by the pool.
You
there.
Had a big bush?
That took...
You bought the grooming tool.
I got one guy ramming things and another guy with a bush.
I mean, I was down on all fours wrestling.
What the hell's going on over here?
You were down on all fours with a bush?
Yeah. See, now, why does he have to take gardening and move it into, you know, that...
I can't blame him on that.
But, yeah, it sucked. But I planted it, and it doesn't look like it's dying. Yeah, then my mother pissed me off. She comes by and goes, I give it 50-50 on living. And I'm like, if this thing dies, I'll be pissed.
If you plant, did you put a lot of manure in with it?
I did.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Straight from the source. I just dropped
yours?
Them.
And, did you just go?
Yeah.
She said the water is key. It's got to keep it wet
That's true.
But I'll be pissed if it dies.
What kind of tree is it?
Dogwood.
Dogwood, that's a good tree.
I don't really know what it is going
to
look like.
What do you care? All you're looking to do is cut them all
down. I want
to
cut down.
Well, that's why I thought of you, because I'm working 6 hours to transplant a tree.
I thought you had a guy that would cut down my trees if I give him the wood.
Yeah, I might.
Well, get him over there.
I got to get you the number.
Christ.
Why don't you just go in the phone book and call?
I don't want to pay. It's expensive. It's like $500 a tree. I can't afford that.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
It's like $500 a tree. I don't want to pay.
You make that every time you breathe.
Well, let me tell you something.
That's why he hasn't been breathing a lot.
I'm not doing so well. TG and NJ, Fred, don't be surprised if Andy's Steelers win it all again and therefore contest the Pats for the team of the decade.
Yeah.
Which most fans will agree
Andy
with
will
because
be
of the
happy
whole spy camera BS.
I mean, you're adding an impact franchise running back to a team that was already successful with Rashard Mendenhall.
I would say
back.
That if the Steelers do win it again this year, they have dibs for team of the decade.
I say
it's
a split.
Dibs or they're in the conversation?
They're in the conversation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Clearly in the conversation.
Because I don't see how they supersede the Patriots. The
Patriots
still had a better decade
today. They had a perfect regular season where they lost a Super Bowl, but they were in that Super Bowl. I mean,
right. They're in the conversation, though.
The Patriots seem like they're getting like bad-mouthed, even by some of their own fans, because they won it 3 in 4 years. Like, if they had been spread out 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, everybody would be like, wow, what a great decade. But because they won them all quickly and then haven't won since, everybody says, back when they won, you know, I do it myself, but back when they won Super Bowls.
I know, but in the meantime, they had a perfect regular season and made it to the Super Bowl.
And we're in an AFC title game and we're 38 seconds from goal. I mean,
those all count.
And they've been relevant every year since 2001.
Right.
But don't you think it feels like people are saying that they haven't been good of late, whereas had you spread it out differently and had a win – you know, in 2009 and 2007, you lost. In 2006, you won. And spread them out a little bit more. People would have said, wow, did they dominate that decade? They won 3.
Yeah, I see what your point is. I don't think
everybody
it really
says
changes.
Back
I don't
when they were winning Super Bowls in 2004.
I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't detract from what the Patriots did because they won all, you know, 3 times in 4 years. But I understand what the point being. It seems like you were at a higher level for longer if you won in 2001,
but it's
2004,
what we talked about. It's hard
2008.
To win.
It's very hard
to win.
You
got to an AFC
title
game, you lost. You got to a Super Bowl, you lost. But those count in terms of dominating a
Yeah, that's why I would say the Patriots have been relevant since 2001 every year.
Well, since week three of
2001. The down years for the Patriots, I think, were better than the down years for Pittsburgh in this decade. And I think, you know,
yes.
Look, it's pretty close. I mean, their records, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and New England's records in the decade are pretty close. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but
I eliminate the Colts because you got to win the big ones.
They only won it once, yeah. And that's,
ones is plural. You got
to
have it.
Yeah, they need to win more often when it counts, and they haven't. Pittsburgh has. The Patriots have won the most.
Kermani's mad because he says there's no R in my goddamn name. It's pronounced Kermani. Kermani.
Oh, I always thought it was. That's my bad. I thought it was Kermani. I thought it was.
Well, he says it's pronounced.
I thought it was K A R.
He has a pronunciation K E M O N Y. That would be
Kimoni.
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 Okay.
If you were
that was my bad.
It would
I was
be A H M A H if you wanted Kimoni. You know, if you're going to spell it out as it's pronounced.
Well, if it's M O N Y, you wouldn't say Moni. It'd be Moni, right?
No, Moni.
But that's how he wrote it, right?
So it's Kimoni. Kimoni. All right.
This is PFW in progress. I'm sorry, Camoni.
Camoni.
I have been guilty of mispronouncing your name. I thought there was a K-A-R in there, and I can't pronounce R's, so sometimes I put them in where...
You can't pronounce R's?
No, sometimes I put them where they don't belong at the end of a word.
Camoni.
You know?
I thought he was going to be mad because Eric, didn't he like give away his place of employment last week or something?
There's something going on. There's something going on.
What room do you and Eric rendezvous in?
What room are you with Eric right now?
Yes, in his blank
kitchen. Yeah, because after, after Eric gave away where he worked, Kamani sent a very hostile email.
He goes right back to calling him.
Saying, well, that's what I'm going to
call him,
that
he's just, you know, opened up a big can of worms. Oh. Yeah, so there's going to be problems.
Big can of worms or his big worm?
Oh, see.
No, don't be offended.
Sam in Chicago, thanks as always for a great show. Fred, I'm with you. Be optimistic. Be a Boston fan. The Pats are taking it all. That's why the rest of the country envies us. We're right most of the time, and when we're not, we keep smiling. Question, what is your opinion of James Sanders as a leader?
Great.
Eric, wherever you are, do your thing. We all like Bob Sanders. Oh, James Sanders. James Sanders, I have no idea how James Sanders is as a leader.
Quiet leader.
Quiet leader.
Yeah.
He is a do-the-right-thing kind of leader more than talk about it. And
I think
dating back to his time at Fresno State, very well-respected in the locker room.
The best word that you can use for him is just solid.
I agree.
He's solid. He's not spectacular. He's not going to make a lot of flashy plays.
You think he
not
could?
Not Ed Reed. No, I don't think he's a playmaker.
No, not Ed Reed. Well,
I think he's a
is
solid.
Is there a middle ground between solid and Ed Reed somewhere?
No, I believe he's a solid be-where-you're-supposed-to-be safety.
But if you blitz him a little bit more, could he make more plays?
I don't know.
I suppose if a guy...
I think he could.
You know,
I like him.
But, all right, Brandon Merriweather last year blitzed a couple times late in the season.
Made
I don't
place.
Really think that he's a very... I don't think that's his strong... I wouldn't call
I agree,
him a playmaker.
But that's my point.
So
I think if you send Sanders a couple times,
he could get
there
too. He could
have some sacks and maybe a tipped ball or
but
a
I don't think fumble. I don't think Merriweather's more of a playmaker than Sanders. I just...
Well, most
he
people
had,
do.
He had more opportunities to make plays than Sanders. That's all.
Okay. You know what I think hinders him? They want him at the back end of the defense because he's the best tackler they have. You put Brandon Merriweather back there,
I think he is
and that's
where
the recipe
he's supposed
for a touchdown.
To be. I think Sanders is he's one of those guys, you put your defense together and you know pretty much every play he's going to be where he's supposed to be.
But
he's
going to
do his assignments.
Because they think, and this is just me totally from afar, but if you blitz him, if you have him more active around the line of scrimmage, that moves Brandon Merriweather to your last line of defense.
You know, I'm watching
that's not good.
On NFL Network, Fred, they're showing the 2005 divisional playoff with Indianapolis and Pittsburgh. That was the game that the Steelers won 21-18.
Right.
Manning was awful that day, and he's thrown a lot of bad passes already, and the game is barely into the second quarter. But what a beating he took in this game.
Yeah.
I forgot what a pounding he took in that game. Now we're talking ramming, bush, and pounding. We're just spiraling out of
Sam
control.
In Chicago finishes up his email and says, yes, the city is rallying behind Cutler and wants revenge for what the Celtics did to their baby Bulls and what the Cubs always never do. So,
always never do.
Let's see. Phil in Austin says the Atkinson diet is when George Atkinson comes to your house and breaks your jaw, forcing you to eat your meals through a straw for a month, guaranteed to work.
I love it.
So that's a you don't look so bad with a broken jaw there, doctor.
Thanks.
Gary from Reading, Mass., with the addition of Fred Taylor, an outstanding play of Sammy Morris and Kevin Falk, how much pressure is now put on Lawrence Maroney to shape up?
I would say no more pressure than...
I think the running is going to be a committee like it was last year. I don't think they're going to put it in one guy's hands. But bringing that up reminded me of something else. Karen Garigian in the Herald today had a little story about Matthew Slater. You know, and potentially being the kick return candidate. We talked about there's a lot of guys involved in that. Slater, maybe one. Maybe Darius Butler factors into that. Maybe some of the other young guys. Terrence Wheatley did a lot of it in college. She didn't mention Lawrence Maroney, who had done it pretty effectively for at least a year earlier in his career. Do you think that he factors into that, or do you think the injuries...
No,
injury history for him.
No, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, that we think he will be in the mix. He may be, that may be his main role. I mean, I have no idea exactly how he plays out, but I think he'll be in the mix there. It's the only thing he's shown to do with any regularity.
Do you think Slater is good enough?
No.
Okay. All right.
What was the rest of the question?
Well, I can't say what I was going to say, because then I'd have to say I was going to say.
No, I mean,
just looked at me with this blank stare.
He...
No, do you think Slater is good enough? With him. Do you think Slater is good enough to just have that be his role?
No.
What did he show us either
that he was good enough at that?
I don't know. You guys seem to be in love with him in training camp because he was fast. And then everybody else is running three-quarter speed, and he's running as fast as he can.
He's still fast, but when a ball hits him, it generally bounces off him.
It happened once.
No, and he could have dove on the one in Buffalo.
I know.
He doesn't have the knack. If you're only going to have three plays a game and you can't make those plays, you're not valuable to me.
I just love how you just cut ties.
If you screw up three plays but you're involved with 30, okay, you're 27 to 30. That's good enough for me.
I was never on board with the pick to begin with.
The thing is, he was given an opportunity to make plays several times in the season. He didn't make any of them.
I mean, as a special teamer, you only get so many chances. You need to maximize those chances. He didn't. He doesn't have it.
Kermani says the correct way is the way Fred originally said it.
Which is?
I don't know. I've lost track now.
Kermani.
No.
Kermani.
No. What?
Kermani.
Kermani?
Not Carr, because he says there's no R.
He just added a second R at the end. Kermani.
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 Kermani. No, there's no R.
No, I'm not.
What's his first name or other name?
Can we change it? I'm going to call you Lou from now on.
Greg in Salmon, Idaho.
Wow.
I think this is a first time emailer. And I bet you the fishing's
I
great
was going to say
there,
it sounds
baby.
Like a Fred Kirsch destination.
Oh.
Idaho.
Tell me about the fishing in Salmon, Idaho, Greg. Anyway, I'd like to comment about your discussion.
Should I leave you alone for a while?
I like to comment.
You're kicking the stones if they don't have salmon there.
I'm sure they have some great fly fishing. But a salmon, though. What? That would be. I wonder where salmon would have to be up north. Because down in like southern Idaho would be more like trout.
Potatoes?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
How do you know?
Why would
I fished in Idaho.
Really?
Several times, yeah.
No, but you know the geography as to where the different fish
are?
Well,
salmon are usually, you know, where they have the fast running current. I don't know.
That's what I figured.
You know, there's landlocked salmon and then there's all kinds of different salmon.
Exactly.
Anyway,
lots exactly of salmon what in I the figured. Sea.
Somebody will email us and tell
us
all about
it. Yeah, cuz you have absolutely for a career fisherman, you have
I'm not
no
a
knowledge.
Career fisherman.
You pretend
you like fly fishing.
Well, why do you come to work with those waiters on all the time?
And your little fly fishing shirt.
Of all the BS that's around here.
Oh.
Greg says, I'd like to comment about your discussion about Brady. Give the guy a break. He came off a record year in 07, undefeated in the preseason last year. I don't recall him playing any downs in preseason. To say the result of poor play in the first game of last year was a trend is foolish. He never got a chance to get in the groove. You can't tag all this on his wife yet and not being a workout warrior. Let's give him four games to see where his mojo is. Pats 24, Giants 20 in the Super Bowl 44.
We didn't say he played poor.
You guys did.
But my favorite part was, let's give him four games. All Tom Brady has for rope is four games. Week five, we can criticize it.
We joked that they didn't score in the three possessions that he played
last turns it
year.
Over twice.
We didn't say he played poorly.
Well, he was.
That's a good one. I like that email. That was funny.
Who was that? Tim and Salmon?
Greg and Salmon.
Oh, Tim Salmon is former Angel, of course.
Dan and writes in, Dan and Fairfax.
Not to be confused with Steve Trout.
He says, let's see. Fred Although Lewis. I know what Andy was going for, I'll say Eric took a don't believe a word I say cation. Andy takes
liar-cation?
Andy takes the Urban Dictionary word of the daycation. When Fred's mind goes away and he messes up on the air, it's called a botched cliché-cation. And, of course, when Paul goes out of the studio to grab lunch, it's a buffet-cation.
That was good.
I thought it was going to be, that's not what I say-cation.
That's what I was gonna say-cation.
Yeah, that would be more accurate.
1:16, we got to take a break and we'll be right back.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket to four of the biggest matches of the season at Gillette Stadium. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, conference rival DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
Wow, how about that?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Pride.
Drives it, and in! What a goal! Sandy Diaz!
Passion.
Listen to this crowd or up.
Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. Lacrosse fans, once again, the NCAA Men's Championship is taking place right here in New England. That's right, the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championship, the only NCAA event that includes all three divisions, will take place at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, 2009. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States, and Gillette Stadium will once again be the home of the championships. This is an NCAA event you don't want to miss. Fans from all over the country will descend upon Foxborough to watch this exciting once-in-a-lifetime event. Order your tickets today while seats are still available. Log on to www.lax2009.com. That's lax2009.com, or order through Ticketmaster. May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the 2009 Men's Lacrosse Championship. If you love lacrosse, this is the one sports event you don't want to miss. And now, fun facts from Fred Kirsch.
Fred.
Yeah.
Are your sources telling you that the report that Dolphin Stadium is going to become Landshark Field, is that accurate?
I heard that too. What is Landshark, is that a company now?
Lager, it's a beer.
It's one of Jimmy Buffett's beers.
That's cool.
He's, I know, he has weird a, though. He has the a Dolphins the play now? At Landshark.
Yeah, it is. That is weird. Because the shark isn't a dolphin. One's a mammal, right. One's a mammal and the other's a fish. Right?
That's many... class record. A shark's not a dolphin.
That was a
fun fact
from Fred Kirsch.
All right. Back here in PFW in progress. Talking about everything here. Talking about the Patriots going all the way. That's a done deal.
It's been written. According
it's been
to
written.
You.
So let it be written. So let it be done. Who said that?
I have no idea.
Yul Brynner in Ten Commandments.
Never seen it.
No? You never saw the Ten Commandments with Yul Brynner and Charlton Heston? No.
Never heard of Yul Brynner.
Doc's seen it.
Oh, I know Yul Brynner, The King and I, right? Wasn't Yul Brynner in The King and I?
Yes. Yul Brynner was in The King and I. Yes, he was.
All right.
Brian in Santa Cruz says, hey, guys, and I would say Eric, but he's on some kind of internet photo escapade. I'm just as guilty as next Kool-Aid-sipping Patriots homer, but I have to say that Fred has a great point. We've all been talking about the roster as if the team will stink without Peppers or Taylor. While the presence would be an irrefutable upgrade to the defense, I don't think success hinges on a veteran signing. In our quest to build the perfect team, we forget that the one we have is pretty damn good. Wouldn't you say? I'm on board with Fred. While there are a lot of variables between now and next February, this is a great feeling surrounding this team right now. Well, that's about it. All right.
I don't think any of us were arguing like, if they get Taylor, they win it all. If they don't, they're not going to win. I mean,
we all agree.
They're going to be good to great.
This is a very, very good team, if not already a great
gooder
team.
Gooder or greater.
Yeah. I think that we're talking about, in order to win it all, we think they might need some more depth at linebacker.
It can't hurt.
That's
know.
All.
Dave from Connecticut, I hear rumors of Ty Law possibly coming back to the Pats. Yeah. I thought Bill wanted to get younger and faster on defense, not older, slower, and fatter. The same goes for Rodney Harrison. I love Rodney, but I feel Father Time has caught up with him being injured every season, and his mind is willing, but his body can't play the way he wants. It's time to move on with the younger players. As for linebackers, I feel with the injury to Tyrone McKenzie, the kid Appleby possibly makes the team. I'm giving up on getting Julius Peppers, but hoping Jason Taylor comes on board. There's also the chance of picking up a free agent linebacker before training camp. All in all, I think a great season is ahead. Keep up the great shows.
We do have high-class problems. I agree with that sentiment.
Very high-class problems.
It's like that. Have you seen the Nesson now has, like, sports comedy all-stars or something? And one of the ones they show on there is a guy from Seattle, and he jokes that in New England, a bad year, you lose the Super Bowl. We had a bad year in Seattle. We lost our NBA team. I mean, it is pretty high-class problems we have around here.
Yes.
We joke, Paul and I, like, you don't know what to watch because it's always a triple header at night. The Red Sox, Bruins, and Celtics are always on because they're both in the postseason. And there's a lot of good stuff going on around here.
I think it all started in 01. The Patriots showed the other franchises how to run their teams, and since then, things have been pretty good around here. So, Mike in Charlotte, North Carolina.
See, I don't always take the bait. Sometimes I let
them
go. I know.
I'm waiting. I'm wiggling that worm in front of you. You didn't bite. That worm, not the worm.
Fred is wiggling his worm in front of Paul, hoping he'll bite it.
You always have to think that way.
It's so tawdry when he says it.
Yeah.
I'm immature. What do you want me to do? What are you looking at?
See, you got your
get some maturity.
I see you got your I'm on vacation shirt on today.
I like this shirt.
Yeah.
Rhymes
you look like a tourist.
He's on rhymes with vacation shirt.
Right.
No. Why does this look like a tourist?
It just looks like something that, you know.
A button-down short-sleeve shirt.
You know, somebody like a farmer would wear to Disney World, which is exactly what you are. You know.
I've never been to Disney World, and I don't farm.
No, he won't go to Disney World. You didn't know that?
Well, wait. Now, this is a whole different.
You didn't know that Andy's anti-Disney World?
Oh, how can you be anti?
He's never been.
I hate people and rides.
He's never been, and he won't go.
There's more to it than just the rides.
I hate people.
Okay.
There's a lot of people there, right?
Yep. But there are people everywhere. You can't avoid people.
Not in my house, there aren't.
So
that's why they call it a staycation.
You do go on vacation, do you not?
Yeah. I the times I go, I avoid people.
Okay. I can't argue with that.
I like the resort for my honeymoon. That's a limited number of people. There's not ridiculous people everywhere. There's always enough things at the
hates
pool.
Disney.
You have an electric
hates
fence
Disney and has
property?
Never been there, Fred.
No.
But he hates it and has never been
there.
Right,
you never been
don't
there.
Get but, off, don't get off I mean, topic, Fred. Come on.
Wait a minute.
Come on.
Aren't I being smart? I hate people and I hate rides. Why would I go there? I mean, only an idiot would then go there and say, right, I really hate
you don't
it.
Like rides?
No.
Why?
I have a queasy stomach.
There's a lot to see other than...
Plus,
you know,
it's expensive.
And not every ride is a roller coaster. There's
plus,
a
it's
lot
expen- of- no, I get sick on anything. Teacups or whatever. I'll be puking.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't
but
know that.
I'm not going to... Isn't it like $75 to get in? Or something ridiculous?
Yeah, probably more than that.
I can put that $75 to use somewhere else.
At home.
Yeah.
Avoiding
or
people.
Anywhere else. Just go out to dinner or something.
Being a bloodthirsty shut-in.
He has to pay his workers.
That's true. There's a lot of overhead. I forgot. That's
he's
a good point.
Indentured servants.
I'm wondering
that's
where the guy
point.
Is.
The
he
serfs.
Hasn't shown up yet. He actually drove in the other day.
Why
on
didn't
the
you get someone to do your tree for you? Where was Vic?
He didn't answer his phone. I called.
He saw the call. He saw the
well,
I
think he has
ID.
Kind of
Vic drove
up
by
on.
And saw that the tree was a little, like, tilted to the side. And he's like, what the hell is he doing? I'm not answering the phone today.
No, see, I think he knows. If I call him at, like, 2 o'clock on, it's, yeah, you
want
to go
doing
get a
tonight?
Beer.
If I call him at 10 o'clock in the morning,
it involves moving furniture or moving a tree.
And you know how those conversations go. Andy goes, hey. What are you doing?
Why didn't you put a chain around your truck and just pull it out?
Because I was advised by my mother that that would not be good for if I had any intention of it actually living.
Oh, okay.
Because I tried to go around like a big circle.
Sounds like your mother was a real
off.
Thorn in your side during this whole process.
She was. Everything I did,
that's
she
how my mother-in-law got
criticized.
The bushes out from in front of her house, though. She the guy that came strapped into the back of his
oh,
truck
yeah.
and ripped him right
out. I got the bushes out by not voting for him.
Of course, his eligibility had also
that's
expired,
true.
That's but
true.
That's another argument.
Mike and Charlotte.
Yeah, what's
Carol-
your boy doing at gas?
Huh?
Gas is going. Every time I drive by the gas station,
$2.25. What's going on?
What is your boy doing?
What's going on?
I've limited production. They're screwing us.
I blame your boy.
No, we're doing all right.
He's
doing
the
fine.
Leader.
He's doing a good job.
He screwed it up.
He's doing a good job.
You following
we're all
any of this
him.
Yahoo thing with the Brett Favre situation?
Now what?
The Vikings are still interested.
What?
The Yahoo thing that
they
you know,
had
the
their
guy,
X-rays.
The guy that came out and said that they're not, they don't have plans to sign him, and there was some question as to whether or not he is at this guy that wrote the story. I don't even remember his name, Rick something, I think. Maybe related to Ziggy Wilf.
Really?
What?
And that's how he has the in with the Vikings organization.
But I read Ziggy Wilf today say they were
yeah,
interested.
Yeah, well, that's what made me think of it. Is I'm looking at ESPN now and. Minnesota is openly saying, yes, you know, I think Mark Wolf was quoted today saying, you know, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback and we'd be crazy not to be interested, blah, blah, blah.
So they're going to make it, so this is all planned out. They're going to make it so Brett Favre is just pulled out of retirement. Like, he really didn't want to do it, but they made me an offer. I can't refuse. I'm going to go do it. You know, so he kind of looks like a good guy.
Yeah, you know what my theory was? He was all set to keep the little, you know, dance going last week, and then the Manny suspension came down, and he realized I'm not on the in the spotlight anymore. I know. I'll say that I'm not interested in returning, and then I'll come back next
week. Wait a week.
Let's see. Mike in Charlotte, North Carolina. Great show, guys. Living in Charlotte, I really enjoy being able to keep up with the latest Pats news during lunch. I can't believe that Bill would let Vrabel go without a plan. I think Taylor has already verbally agreed to become a Patriot. It will be signed by the end of May.
That's what Paul thinks. He'll be here for veteran camp.
Yep. I'm also wondering if Bill plans to try Mayo at outside linebacker. In an interview with PFW, he said he has been working with AD and Bruschi and trying to improve his big play ability. With Bill wanting the most versatility from all his players, it would make sense for him to at least try Mayo on the outside. And what is Bruschi's current status? Has he resigned?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, he's under contract.
I think Taylor will be back, obviously. I've said it for the last few weeks. I think around minicamp or so, he will be back. Not back, but on the Patriots. But I don't think that was the plan. I don't think that's why they traded Vrabel, because they said they would sign Taylor.
No.
I'm not even sure that Taylor was available when they
And I don't foresee Mayo going to the outside. I mean, he's the centerpiece of that defense in terms of making the calls and everything.
Isn't he
only, plus, he's only 6'1".
Yeah, if Bill didn't like any,
now, he's fast. So, you know, Bill said he didn't like the size, speed of those guys. And he played some outside in college. But he's not built like an outside linebacker in their system.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised to see them do something like that. Now, I know that.
How come Junior Seau's falling off the radar?
He's 111.
I know, but. Of the two guys they brought in last year that were old and forced into signing, he was better.
Yes.
Yeah, but the other guy's off the radar, too.
Right. No, I know. But there's no depth, and he was like the soup du jour for the last 2 years. Why is he not still on the menu?
I would bet,
talking about plan D.
I would bet that he's in the same plan as last year. He's going to be this year.
Yeah.
If they need him at some point.
Well, then they'll be calling him at some point.
I actually think Rodney has a chance to be in that similar kind of plan.
Not if he's on Football Night in America.
Well, I think that there's a chance.
Can you come right off of Football Night in America to the game?
Why not? Didn't Dion used to do that stuff? He'd be like doing media things, and then all of a sudden he'd show up.
Yeah, but Dion does a lot of things that aren't right, like representing clients and then introducing them for the NFL Network and the NFL at the draft. Totally inappropriate.
Wow. Not a big Dion fan, huh?
Love Dion. But his current business practices are despicable, and I don't understand why the NFL would be in bed with him. It's an incestuous affair.
Yeah. He's got too much going on.
Yeah. But why is the league okay with it? Why are they putting up with it?
I don't know. I think right now they're just looking for people that are well known on their station. You know, they're...
Because they're sinking. The ship is sinking.
Let's see. Dan writes in, just out of curiosity, how many teams would you say are worse off at the linebacker position than the Pats? Also, ESPN reported a few weeks ago that Jason Taylor might make a decision on who to sign with within the next 2 weeks, which would be around now. Does that seem like a possibility?
Seems like a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have everybody's linebacker depth chart in front of me, so I don't know.
And I'm not comparing them to everybody. I'm comparing them to if themselves, whether they can finalize the season with a ring or without a ring. That's all I'm comparing them to, being the best. What could keep them from being the best? If you ask me right now, it's linebacker.
Greg writes back, Fred, Salmon is in the center of the state on the eastern side. That'd be Idaho. We have a steelhead run, a salmon run, and some of the best trout fishing you can imagine. Coming from New Hampshire, I can attest to the superior fishing out west. Come on out. Love to have you. Might even stick you on some rogue horse or mule and drag you to 10,000 feet and catch native cutthroat trout while discussing your hate of Giselle for ruining Tom.
10,000 feet?
Wow.
In the mountains?
Okay, I'll give Tom a half season before benching him in favor of the kid from Fresno State. And he even gives me his phone number, so I might even actually give him
a... See, there's a vacation I'd be interested in. I don't even fish, and I would go up in the mountains and...
and
shoot a fly.
And John in Grand Junction, Colorado says salmon Idaho is best known for steelhead fishing. It's in the Frank Church Wilderness of No Return along the border with Montana. It's on the Lewis and Clark Trail. In 2000, when I was still in the Marines, my unit spent a month up there fighting a 2-million-acre forest fire. It's awesome country, almost as nice as Colorado. Keep up the great work.
Now, the Idaho people, I have been to Donnelly, Idaho. Where is that?
I don't know.
Well, I wasn't asking you. I was asking
my sister lived in Idaho for 6 years. So, but she lived in northern Idaho, but then we'd go down to southern Idaho and fish.
I think it was near Pocatello.
Yeah.
I think that was the bigger...
Bigger
in quotes.
My favorite part of that email was salmon Idaho is best known for its
steelhead. Yeah.
Well, then why isn't it called steelhead Idaho? But that's a vacation I would do, Fred. Ride a horse up into the mountains. I don't even fish, but I think I'd enjoy it rather than go to Disney World and spend $75 to stand in line with 3,000 people.
No, it's. I mean, I like both.
My wife wants to do a cattle drive or something. You can go to like a cattle ranch or something.
You could do that on your property. You don't need to go anywhere.
We do not have. I do want to get animals, but we don't have any.
Gonna get some chickens.
So let me.
I was thinking pigs.
Let me get back to this. What if
I like bacon?
4 or 5 years from now, when your kids are old enough, and they want to go. Say no.
Yeah,
you don't. You're not going.
Right.
It's too many people.
Yeah,
you don't want to go there.
What do you want to go there for,
Dad?
No. What do you want to go there for?
They're kids. They don't make the decisions. I do.
I didn't say they make a decision, but you don't. You don't do anything that your kids want to do.
This is not a democracy.
Wow.
I am the dictator.
He's tough. He's tough, Freddie.
Don't resent him.
Because kids are going to have fun no matter where you go.
By age 10?
Yeah.
You think therapy?
That is true. They will
have
fun. Most of these kids have more fun in the pool than they do in the park.
You're going to tell me the kids wouldn't have fun around horses and streams and camping? I mean, they're going to have fun no matter what you do.
There's all different things you could do for vacation.
They have Fort Wilderness at Disney. You could live in the...
Why not go to real wilderness instead of fake wilderness?
Because the fake one is cleaner.
And the real one is cooler and freer.
So it's all about money for you, huh?
No, but I'm not going to waste my money.
All this
money is
tied up in his land.
it's in receivership. I'm just concerned about the Hart children. I want them to have.
So when you take Will and TJ to Disney, Jackson will come along for the rides.
You know what? I'd be more than happy to have them.
I don't know if I can trust you.
Somebody and the next
fights
time,
women in line. I don't know,
the next time
guardians.
That it's not at Disney. The next time there are no fights at Disney. Disney's
the happiest place on earth.
Thank you. See? The doctor knows. There
I'll
are no fights.
Send Carol Hart, too, to keep an eye on.
How many times have you been in Disney?
I'd say.
Is it not the happiest place ever?
It's
without question one of the cleanest places
to me,
I've ever been.
You have to be a real curmudgeon not to have a good time there.
Yeah, Andy would find a way.
I wouldn't.
Despite never actually being there.
Well, you know how I'd go in nitpicking because I don't really want to be there.
I've never
spent money
not,
I didn't want to
spend. It'd be like a flower petal on the fly. I thought it was the cleanest place I ever saw.
I've probably been there 8 times, and I've never not had a good time.
But you go on rides.
But I do a lot of things.
I do everything.
Actually, right now, when I'm with my kids, I don't go on a lot of rides because they're not big enough to go on
many
of the
rides. Can we
get
Disney as a sponsor? Maybe, have them fly us down there, have them do a show there.
But there's some great shows that you can see. The different 3D shows that they have.
Oh, it's awesome.
For all the different
movies. Now, the Haunted Mansion. That's not like a scary – that's not a fast ride.
No.
You'd love that.
How do you know that I'd love
it? Because it's not going to make you queasy.
Yeah. There's a lot of rides like that are more to look at than thrill rides.
All I would end up doing is going to like restaurants or like buying fried dough. And it'd be the most expensive fried dough I ever paid for.
The money, I can't argue with you about the money.
Yeah, you got to have some cash.
You got to have some cash with you.
But it's not really the money. It's the money for something I don't want to do.
That's fine. Okay, you don't like it.
You're miserable. I mean, I can't really explain it any other way.
I'm not miserable.
It's the happiest place on earth. I think the doctor very adequately described that. It's the happiest place on earth.
I think 10,000 feet in Salmon, Idaho would be a very happy place.
You could be very happy there, too.
Fly fishing for steelheads. I don't know what any of that means, but what's a steelhead?
It's a type of trout. It's a big trout.
What's big?
It's in the trout family. Yeah.
But what's big?
I mean, it's big.
Yeah,
12
big.
Inches, 14 inches?
Oh, 25 inches. I think. Yeah.
Somewhere Eric is.
Let's see. Todd Porter in Nova Scotia. They have good fishing up there.
Different kind, though, right?
They have a lot of salmon up there, I would imagine.
Fly fishing.
The show is much better today. Remember back when you did the Eric Fact of the Day? How in the hell does naked photo shoot not make the top 10? You know, that's interesting. When we were doing the facts of the day, he never mentioned that. That would have been good fact of the day. We need to bring that back.
He's got some skeletons in the closet.
He's an international man of mystery.
You know, he hangs out with those skeletons in the closet most of the time, but
that's just gross.
You guys were talking about dream outside linebackers we could get. How about DeMarcus Ware? He's in a contract year. He's young. He's a perfect fit for the 3-4. It would cost a ton, but I think it would be worth on the first next year and next year and the year after, and 2 seconds next year. And Paul, as a Canadian and a hockey fan, I'm offended that your favorite player was Mario Lemieux. There was never a bigger pansy-ass cherry picker in the history of the league. Northeastern hockey is rotting your brain.
What did he call him, a pansy-ass cherry picker?
Cherry picker good. Means he doesn't come back.
No, I know.
Defense.
Well, that's a good phrase.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty ridiculous assessment of...
Paul's angry at the emailers today.
Not even arguably one of the three best players to ever play the game, to say he was a pansy cherry picker. Whew, that's tough.
Okay.
I'm just glad there's another guy out there that likes hockey.
What was the beginning part of that email? I wanted to say something. Damn it.
DeMarcus Ware, contract year.
Okay, let's play the game. I like playing the game. DeMarcus Ware and a 2 to the Patriots for Vince Wilfork and a 1.
DeMarcus Ware.
I don't know. I'm just playing the game.
What do we need the draft picks for?
I don't know, because I think Ware is a little bit more of an impact player, probably more highly sought after, so he comes with a 2. You give him a 1. I was trying to piece it together on like a value chart system in my head. Would you trade Wilfork for Ware?
Yes.
In whatever.
Right, drive him to the airport.
So they're both in the last year of their contract.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and both teams run a 3-4. I mean, there's some reasons it would kind of fit.
I would. Yeah.
But that's just because I like glitz, glamour, and impact plays.
Well, that's my theory as well, and I'm not sure Bill would share it.
No,
Bill might look
sure
at that building block as being indispensable.
I don't know. He kind of likes.
But they're both. I think they're kind of both equally hard to find. That true nose tackle and that true playmaker in a 3-4 linebacker. They're both hard
to
find.
I mean, based on his history with Lawrence Taylor, I think he.
You're right.
If he can find the right one, I think he puts a high value on that guy.
I would make that trade.
Unfortunately,
in a blink
I think he
of
thought Adalys Thomas was up in that radar somewhere, and has not been as of yet. I would do it. I think that would be very much fun to watch.
I would rather get by with an average nose tackle than an average outside linebacker.
No question. Know what I think about the inside guys, Paul? Wasted.
Yeah.
Adalys Thomas wasted a season here. Would DeMarcus Ware be at the top of the list? The guy said we were playing dream outside linebackers.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find one higher than that.
I kind of agree. How about Sean Merriman?
I don't like Merriman as much as Ware.
I don't either.
I think Ware is much more versatile. I think I've seen Ware do some things in coverage that
I agree,
I've never seen Merriman do.
But it sounds like Sean Merriman is on the outs in San Diego. Not just injury-related, but it sounds like they're not going to pay him. I believe he's got one. He probably has 1 year left, too, because he came in with Ware.
Same year. Did they sign 5-year deals? Because they came in 05. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, I know 9. Ware is just about done. So I think they have the same... And he seems like they're drafting the replacement. They're going down the road.
Well, that's what I was
going
to bring up about the...
So he's coming off an injury. You might actually be able, if you wanted to, you might actually be able to go get Sean Merriman.
The comment I made about Jamie Dukes on the NFL Network pre-draft stuff was talking about Larry English being a perfect fit or one of those outside linebackers. Everett Brown was the guy I think he actually liked, saying they need an edge rushing type because... you know, when they lost Sean Merriman last year, their sacks went from A to B and they were way down. And I remember thinking to myself, well, they're getting Merriman back. They still have Sean Phillips on the other side. Why is that such a huge priority? And sure enough, San Diego picked Larry English, so they agreed with him. So you might be right.
But I think
they're
not going to
pay him. Gone.
They're not planning on. Combined with the injury.
Yeah, I think
he had a weird injury. He tore. What did he tear? PCL? It wasn't a Joe Average ACL MCL, I believe.
I don't know exactly.
I believe
what
he had a slightly different injury. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that I've seen him working out on Muscle Beach to just promote that steroid image, I think there's some.
Hey, what did you
there.
Guys? I know this isn't football, but what did you think about your guy Lou Maloney saying that the Red Sox actually taught them how to do steroids the correct way?
Paul cannot speak unbiasedly on this topic.
That's true. I'll let Andy speak.
He hates Lou Maloney because he steals all his gigs on TV and radio.
Well, what do you think about
that? Not entirely true.
Is the media making enough out of that?
No.
Not nearly.
If it's only... If he made out to be much more than it was, then no, then it should be kind of a minor rippling. you know, I have my doubts. He's starting a new TV/radio baseball show. It's simulcast. It's EEI, but it's also on Comcast Sports. 3 hours every Saturday morning, Paul, is when it's on.
Yeah.
If it's some sort of to just get noticed, and okay, they kind of did this, but he's fluffing it up. But if that's a true story, if they had a team representative doctor, somebody brought in by the team to tell them how to do steroids if they were going to do them because it was understood that they're probably going to do them, that is as big a piece of this puzzle as Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and all of it. I mean, it just speaks to how extensive the use was and how complicit the teams were.
And somehow they're trying to, like, downplay it by saying that we didn't say that the teams were endorsing steroids. They were simply saying, if you're doing them, this is how to do them safely.
That's not okay.
So that's not okay right. to me. I mean, the only meeting that
I didn't tell him to kill him, but I told him exactly where to shoot him. I gave him the gun and handed him the bullet.
Exactly. The only thing that would be okay for a team to do is say, hey, don't do steroids.
Right.
These are the dangers, and you can't do them.
I kind of missed it because I just didn't see a lot this weekend. But to me, that should be front page ESPN.com. Start investigating. I want more of this. Who was the doctor? You know, I know Duquette has kind of denied it, but who signed off on it? Who knew? I mean, all of it.
I mean, if you're, you know, whoever it is that needs to do it, Congress or whatever, I put them under oath the next day and say, say again?
Right.
You know, what?
And my guess is when Lou Maloney said this, he may not have thought of how big a deal it would or should be. Or he did and was trying to get noticed. That's, I mean, one way or the other.
Yanni and I talked about this a little bit upstairs, and I kind of think there might be an element of that to it. It's, the show just started. It was the second week. And Maloney is clearly, I mean, all of my jokes aside about him stealing my gigs, he's clearly
stealing your gigs.
Aggressively targeting media opportunities and stealing my gigs.
Right.
Clearly. Okay? So now ESPN and some other outlets over the weekend are quoting Lou Maloney on the Comcast Sportsnet baseball show.
And we know ESPN hires a million baseball analysts.
That works for them. And, you know, perhaps he's out there making it. They had Dan Duquette on yesterday who kind of backed up the story. But, like, even when it was said on Saturday, Steve Buckley and Sean McAdam, who were also on that show, neither one of them even raised an eyebrow. They would, matter of fact, Buckley kind of dismissed him, so that's not really what we're talking about right now.
Right,
they're talking about who was, you know,
it was typical
Buck. You know,
trying to get
it's not a story
stuff,
until I say
right,
it's a story.
Right, right.
You know, in 3 weeks he'll write a column about that, and then it'll be a story that everybody has to stop and
talk
about.
I just told you that the Red Sox had a doctor promoting good steroid use.
Yeah, he said at the time they were trying to figure out who was more at fault. Was it the, you know, the teams or the Players Association for the steroids era growing out of control? Well, sorry, Buck. We're talking about a team basically endorsing steroid use. You can call it what you want.
Right.
You can call it whatever you want, but that's what this is to me. Don't do steroids. I had all but envisioned a doctor winking as he was telling everybody, this is not safe. Don't do it. But if you were to do it, this is
Here's
how you
exactly
do it.
How you do it.
And he even made the comment that you could take steroids and sit on your couch for the winter and get more strength out of it than someone who's lifting weights all summer.
Right.
Well, I mean, all winter.
Right.
Which Andy already knew.
Paul from London
but
says, hey, women lovers and Eric, just a couple of things. As always, I can't listen live as I'm working. Why have there been columns recently that are worrying about the backup quarterback position in New England? I've always thought that it was O'Connell and either Gutierrez or a rookie, which turned out to be Hoyer. But a couple of columnists said that the Patriots should be looking at a veteran, and maybe O'Connell isn't good enough to be the backup yet. Do you guys think that we should be bringing in a veteran backup to number 12, as I think we are fine with what we have already? Second, do you see a team picking up Michael Vick when or if he is reinstated to the NFL by Overlord Goodell and his minions in New York? Which team would he fit in with best, and would the Crafts or Bill ever consider picking up Vick for the Patriots after his disgusting past? And finally, a quiz question. What does the surname of Randall, cornerback for the Saints and expatriate, William, DB for the Steelers, and Tyson, USA 100-meter runner, have in common with Eric? Well, we know.
What they are.
Okay. What about his first
They're
question?
They're all gays.
should the Patriots be looking for a veteran quarterback?
That's a tough question.
Not in my opinion.
No.
I'd like to have one, but I don't think they need one. I mean, if you give me the option, if I could have a veteran.
Testaverde still out there?
I think he's probably still out there.
I think it's better to save the money and go with what you have. think it's a better use of your finances.
Now, I don't. I mean, I certainly won't feel great if Kevin O'Connell has to step on the field in week one, just like Matt Cassel did. And I know everybody says, well, they were okay with O'Connell last year, but it was kind of different. I mean,
he was a guy who's been around for 4 years at least, and this guy's only been around for two now.
No, but I mean with O'Connell, like everybody said, well, he bumped up to number two last year. Well, in some ways it was too late, and in other ways he was number two specifically for a coaching reason. I mean, it's clear when they made the switch that it was, here's your team, Matt Cassel. Look what your safety net is. It's the unproven rookie.
They didn't get a veteran for a specific reason, no question about
that. And even if they, even if that wasn't part of it, if you lost Brady, everybody, you have some concerns about the season. Whether you're going to say it or not, you have concerns. If you lose Cassel, well, now your season's kind of going out down the toilet quickly. Maybe we're just developing, you know, it's a different situation. If they lose Brady this year, based on last year when you went 11-5 with your backup quarterback, there's still going to be some expectations to win. And those expectations will fall on a guy who's far less experienced than Matt Cassel.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to ask me if something happens to Brady, do you feel better with a veteran or with Kevin O'Connell? Probably, I would have to admit, a veteran, but I don't think it's a slam dunk.
Well, it depends who the veteran is.
I think
there's a lot of bad veteran backups.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, that's what I'm talking about, people that are available.
Right.
I mean, we could have signed like a Byron Leftwich the way, you know, where did he go? He's going to be a starter probably this year. Where did Leftwich end
Tampa?
Up? Tampa. He's going to start for Tampa.
I would take Leftwich as a backup here.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
I like him.
I was. I was pretty high on him at one time. I think I was wrong. I mean, I thought early in his Jacksonville career, I thought I saw enough out of him. Just so, real slow. And I think
if you gave him this offense, he'd be okay.
Well, it certainly would improve him. But I'm not sure that he's the
O'Connell,
answer.
O'Connell, I'm intrigued.
I like O'Connell.
Skill-wise.
I love
but
the
if he's throwing at shins on little dump-offs again, I'm not going to feel so good if he takes the field. Because that's what I saw last year.
I think we're going to see a big jump from him.
I hope so.
Much like we saw with Brady. I'm not comparing him to Brady.
Paul Perillo comparing Kevin O'Connell to Tom Brady.
No, I think that there is some potential there for marked improvement.
I would hope so. He's a third-round pick.
Yeah.
James from the UK writes in a response to reply to Chris from the UK, hey, guys, and Paul, a quick email to set the record straight on an email you had from some British guy called Chris on last Thursday's show. I don't expect this to be read out loud.
So, of course, Fred is doing so as we speak.
But I was rather irritated by the ignorance of the email and thought it might be beneficial for you to have another perspective. He expected to be torn a new one and wasn't really by you guys. Hence, I feel it necessary to correct
him. To tear him a new one.
One, the Super Bowl is never going to be played outside of the USA. Such an iconic event does not need its prestige up by having it in a foreign land. No serious case can be made for it. And personally, I never truly thought the NFL really thought it was a viable idea.
Well, it's still being talked about, so I wouldn't dismiss it as out of hand yet.
I'm dismissing it.
I think the NFL is allowing it to be talked about just to gauge what people say.
If people are talking about London, that in itself brings a worldly...
Two, the NFL's coming over to Wembley and playing a single game a year is not ruining the pitch. Some context. The old Wembley pitch was always immaculate, one of the best places to play any sport, and you could consider playing billiards on it. It was so flat. Since the new Wembley opened, there has been problems with the pitch. For whatever reason, the turf cuts up badly. This culminated in November 07 with the England national football team failing to beat Croatia and qualify for Euro 08. Bearing in mind that this game took place a good month after the Giants and Dolphins played there, some moronic fans and journalists chose to blame the NFL for the shocking loss. Never mind that, the tactics were wrong, the goalkeeper for England was wrong, several key players were omitted, there was heavy rain, a horrendous error led to the opening goal for Croatia, and that the Croatians were playing on the same pitch and played well. No, let's take a moronic swing at the NFL, as it is an easy target and not the large number of music concerts that are held there. Fortunately, the stupid are everywhere, and anybody who truly looks at the situation will realize. And he continues. Chris seems to think that only one sport is played in his country. Now, while football is far and away the leader here and isn't going to be challenged, he seems to think that no one ever goes to see a game of rugby, cricket, or tennis. The NFL sending real games over here shows this country that they take expansion seriously, which is the only way to do so. And he keeps going on. Anyway, you get his point. He's upset.
He's on an Andy Hart-like rant.
He's not happy.
Finally, he says, I went to the Saints-Chargers game and had a wonderful time of it. Was overjoyed when it was announced that the Pats would be coming over to play. The atmosphere will be great, particularly as the two teams are the most popular in this country. With the attitude that Chris showed to the games, I do hope that he will stick to his guns and will not be attending.
Yeah. Idiot!
Wow.
Chris, screw you.
So there you go, Chris.
Thanks for listening.
And who was that from?
James from the UK.
James. Yeah, James not happy with Chris.
No, not at all.
Good stuff.
I'm looking forward to that game.
I am very much looking forward to that. Now, I want to reiterate, Fred, yes. Should we be getting our passports or are we supposedly?
You'll be getting them. Don't worry
about
it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. See, everybody's been chastising me, and that's the response I've been taking.
That's
like
the same
at
thing.
At family gatherings, like, well, you got to go get your passport. I said, I'm sure they'll take care of it for me, and Sunday, everybody yells at me.
Sunday, I got yelled at again for that. My brother, what's the matter with you? You're 40 years old. You can't get your own passport. He's like yelling at me. I was like, they're going to do it.
And I feel like I'd be muddying the water if I already got one.
You know
one
what I finally said? I go, do you really think they're going to leave it up to 53 individual players to get their own passports? And he didn't have an answer for that.
That's funny. I picked out a certain name.
Well, I didn't.
Let's see. William Barry, Paul's favorite emailer, writes
in. He is the best.
Here is a kooky idea to get the other PFW. Report that Brady has a setback and the Patriots are interested in Favre for 1 year. We fans, who are hated by Paul, by the way, will know it
no, just you, William, not all of them.
Will know it is bullcrap, but the others will pick it up and run with it, citing you guys as inside Patriot sources. Okay, maybe that particular rumor is out since Fred just read it, but you are supposedly imaginative. After this heads up to your listeners, whom Paul hates, by the way. If you make up a plausible but inane rumor, both of your off-season listeners will know it isn't real.
Both?
He's taking swings at us here.
Screw you, Bill.
If Fred reads this on air, I'm betting he has trouble with off and off being so close together.
He did have a number of problems there, but that was not the only
one. That was not one of them.
No, if we're going to spread a rumor, it's the Patriots and Cowboys are discussing Vince Wilfork for DeMarcus Ware. Right?
That's happening?
We should blog about it after the show. PFW in progress, Colin.
As learned.
For where?
Magnus writes in from Copenhagen, Denmark.
Oh, I bet you he competes in the World's Strongest Man.
Magnus.
What else do they do? They are all Magnuses.
I always enjoy listening to your show, usually the podcast, which is a great companion while I'm out running.
See? He's training for World's Strongest Man.
Quite a few people have looked at me oddly because I've been laughing out loud at Fred's philosophical babbling while running like a madman. On Thursday's show, Brett, oh no, not again, Favre once again was the major topic. Eric took offense at Favre for retiring, then retiring, and etc. Instead of being manly enough to stick to his decision and stay retired. While I understand and actually share Eric's point of view, I think you have to dig a little into the psychology involved. At every season's end for, say, the last 5 years, Favre has probably felt like retiring. I imagine that the physical toll of playing an NFL season is incredible, and with an aging body, retirement probably seems like the most appealing option. I think you can compare it to running a marathon. When you cross a finish line, many runners tell themselves never again. Yet 2 weeks later, they apply for the next great race. When I ran the Boston Marathon in April, I was utterly wasted when I crossed the finish line and I thought never again. Yet today, 3 weeks later, I just applied for running the Berlin Marathon in September. Nice. I think the same thing is going on with the likes of Favre, Jordan, Lance Armstrong, and Mario Lemieux. At the end of the season, they just want to quit because of the physical toll and mental strain. But after a month or two, the urge to keep playing reappears, and thus the saga continues seemingly indefinitely. Anyway, hope to see you in London in October. That will be a great event in what promised to be another great season for the Patriots. That's Magnus.
I think that's very well said. I also add to it, I think you forget the hard quicker than the good times. So it's like, you know, when they say you're playing golf and you have one shot and that's good shot is the one that keeps you coming back to play again, even though you had 17 and a half holes full of absolute crap where you were looking for your ball. You remember that one shot where you dropped it 3 feet from the pin.
Yep.
The only thing I would say on the other side of that is we understand how difficult those decisions can be, so don't make them, you know, a week after the season or 2 weeks after the season.
And we hear a lot of players say that, you know, right after the season is not the time to think about that. You wait a few weeks and let it all settle in.
And again, there's a difference between, in my opinion, Mario Lemieux, who retired and came back, than Brett Favre, who has either retired or threatened to retire four, five, six times now and come back. There's a difference when it's an every year. I mean, okay, once, twice, All right, you didn't realize how much you were going to miss it come May or June. Now, don't say anything in March. Wait until June and see if you still feel that way.
But I think Magnus is right. There's a psychological analysis needed there.
I think he's absolutely right.
Josh.
Apparently he doesn't do World's Strongest Man if he's running marathons.
He'd be the biggest marathoner.
Maybe that's why people are laughing at him. It's not because he's laughing at Fred's jokes. It's because they see this 400-pound behemoth running marathons.
Can you imagine him running next to one of those Kenyans in the Boston Marathon?
That would be impressive to see. Magnus, bulk up a little.
Josh says,
Magnus, it should come easy.
Isn't the idea of teaching players to do steroids correctly akin to teaching kids about safe sex in school and distributing condoms? You are discouraging kids from doing it, but you want to make sure that they know the risks and safety issues if they are going to do it anyway. Don't give me some legality argument here either. Kids under 16 in mass can't consent to sexual relations, so there is plenty of illegal teen sex going on too. So how is this so different? I can't wait to hear Paul's freak-out answer.
It's not a freak-out. That's exactly the analogy that Lou Maloney used. It's not a freak-out answer at all.
That's what
he said it was like if you had a teenage daughter, and obviously you don't want her to be having sex, but you're not naive enough to think that she's not experimenting, and you want to make sure if she's doing it, she's doing it safely. That's exactly the analogy that Lou used. It's not a freak-out. I just think it was eye-opening that a team would be openly telling its players how to go about doing it the right way when it was something that was illegal.
It's different in that one is a parent on a one-to-one relationship with a child. One is an organization, a governing body type thing.
Well, he said schools doing it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with schools doing it. I don't think that the act itself, if it happened, was wrong. I'm questioning the motives of the organization. I understand if you're looking at black and white, and if you want to accept it at face value. The Red Sox were just saying, listen, we don't want you to do steroids, but if you're doing it, there's a right way and a wrong way to protect yourself, and we just want you to be safe. If you take that at face value, there's nothing wrong with that. Like Manny Ramirez having a female testosterone in his system, I don't believe he was taking that for a medical reason. I believe he was taking that to mask steroid use. So I don't accept the HGC, was that what it's called?
Something like
that. I don't accept the HGC use as at face value. I think he was masking steroids, much like I don't accept the explanation as to why the doctor for the Red Sox talked to the team. I think he was telling them, this is how you do steroids, boys, and this is how you can do them safely. Oh, well, we're not telling you to do them, but we really wouldn't be all that upset if you were doing them, in parentheses.
Plus, all along, baseball has denied that they were complicit in this problem, so that's another issue here is what you were doing and what you're saying that you did. I mean,
I just wish the whole thing would just go away.
It won't, though.
I really do. Anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Good analogy, though, by the emailer. Exactly the one that a lot of people have used around here.
We'll be back next Thursday, so we'll see you at noon Thursday.